Alright, it's time! Another week, ZTGD Radio. This is episode, wait for it, 799. For June 17th, 2024, we're recording this on Father's Day, so all the dads out there, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, y'all. Happy Father's Day. Yeah, we did it. We did it.
On the show this week, we got Terrence.
Hey, what's up?
And welcome back, Anthony.
Yeah.
My brother from another mother.
He's the least excited about his...
How do you feed blood to grandpa?
He's the least excited about his appearance out of everybody. Yeah.
I mean, right? I'll be hyped with Anthony on here, man.
Nothing to talk about, so what the fuck?
I mean,
that's
all
right.
So
you give flavor to other stuff that be coming up. Because sometimes I don't be having nothing. I just jump
shit
in
is a flavor, I suppose.
Right, this guy. Oh, come on now. You know you are a treasure
like
part
that,
of the team.
I'm like that. The Bean Boozled jelly beans. It could be really nice tasting chocolate, or it could be dog shit. I don't know.
Is that Harry Potter shit?
What they used to be called, and then they were like, we don't need the license. And honestly, they were right.
Yeah, those aren't bad.
The
bad ones are bad. I'm going to say that.
You tell me that vomit one is edible.
No. The bad ones are bad. But I remember,
that's an instant, like, you start to gag as soon as you taste it. It's fucking awful.
I just didn't eat them because I don't want to take a chance with that shit.
We played a game. There was somebody like gave us a game that had them where like it was like you had to take a chance. It was like I think like a dice game or something, but like the penalty or whatever, like you had to eat one and decide if it was good or bad or whatever. And that's we ended up trying.
Motherfucker, would you play Rochambeau?
Absolutely not.
Well, then why would you eat a shitty bean?
The Bean Boozled has like a little spinner, I think, right?
Yeah, that's
spin.
What it was. Yeah.
Spin the bottle?
It's like, no, it's like, God, I can't remember the game where you hit the arrow. It's not like life, because that life spinner was different, but you hit the arrow. Twister, almost. It's like Twister, where you spin the arrow on the board, but what it does is it lands on the color of jelly bean that you have to try, and everybody picks up one of those colors, and it's like Russian roulette.
It's this. Hold on.
Without the happy ending?
Wow. Without the happy ending.
Well, that's not dark.
Wow, that's didn't even come through.
They were sold as Bertie Bott's every flavored bean originally. There's a couple of those types of like food challenges where I'm like, I don't know why you'd want to do this. There's I think there's one where it's all chocolate. And then it's like one of the chocolates has like hot pepper stuff inside of it.
Why?
I think I have seen a video of somebody eating that or whatever. That's crazy.
What I know is good. I'm not going to put vomit in my mouth. Just saying. I don't like any part of this. Anyway.
It's called Bite the Bullet, and all of them are shaped like bullets, and one of them is filled with like a pepper, essentially.
Jesus Christ, no.
That is rolling. Yeah. Golly, you know what? I would do that, though. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I would do that. I would not do Rochambeau, Russian. I'm not going to do all of that, but I would, you know.
Anyway. I'm good. I'd rather just... No, I'd rather just eat something I hate and then move on with my life than, like, maybe this one will kill you. I don't know. I'm good.
I'm just going to eat good food.
Yeah, that's what I prefer to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat. No.
That's fair.
Anyway. Let's talk about video games.
Yeah.
Anthony, you said you didn't have anything, but you want to go first? I know. You say you don't have anything, but yet you've been talking about this game in Discord.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't really... If I talk about it too much, it ruins it. Hey, do you like visual novels? You should play Paranormasite. Jay talked about it in his Games of the Year, either last year or the year before. So I finally played it. And I'm just kind of impressed because unlike most visual novels, which can be kind of experienced by either watching an anime adaptation or reading a manga or reading a book.
Manga.
You know, like, the story, even when there's multiple endings, the story always kind of relates back to, like, at best, a choose-your-own-adventure book. In this game, it really understands that that video games are the medium it's taking place on. So it does a lot of neat stuff with that that I've never really seen before. And honestly, the plot was really well done, which is also important when it comes to a visual novel. And so, yeah, I was just kind of overall impressed. And one thing I will say is that visual novels usually cost, like, full price. You know, somewhere between, I mean, in Canada, it's like $65 and $70 or $75 and $80 now, I guess. Like, they're expensive because despite it not having as much gameplay, there's usually still a lot of writing involved, a lot of art being done. So, you know, to have this game come out from Square Enix, of all people, and it be $30, I'm pretty impressed with that. And that's kind of all I've played over the last little while. It was that and, like, Zelda. I haven't really played much else. So, yeah, that's it for me.
All right. I'll move on to Terrence then.
Well, I haven't really played anything either.
Oh, for fucking sake.
Thank you for playing. So I actually, the Steam Next Fest is going on. And I played, I'm start with these. I played a bunch of the little demos. I never really get too deep with them, like maybe 5 minutes tops, right? I know people like can go hard in some of them, but I really just want to see if I like the gameplay, right? Like if I like the gameplay, then you know, then I'm, you know, I'll check it out. Like, because if I download it, I already, there was something I liked about it anyway. So there's a couple of them that I played that I really enjoyed. The Altars. I don't know if y'all remember seeing this. This was at somebody's show. It might have been last year, actually.
Is this the one where you're cloning people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That was at Xbox's show last year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's, I guess, the spiritual successor to This War of Mine, which was this kind of base building game where you were in a war torn country and you were trying to. Basically, you took care of the survivors. So you had to send people out on missions to, you know, look for resources and stuff. You had to cook and, you know, purify water, stuff like that. This is all stuff that I know I don't think is your bag, Ken.
Nope.
Yeah, so you probably then already zoned out. But The Altars takes a lot of that stuff, but it's a sci-fi game. So the character in the demo, you crash land on this planet, and you make your way to your starship, and you contact the Earth Federation or whoever, and you can't really get a signal, and they're telling you that something bad is going to happen in 6 days, and you know you're in danger. So for the course of this, you end up having to go out and basically scavenge for materials to build things in your base. Like, you have to repair the communications array, so you get a better signal with those people or whatever. So it has those elements, but the main thing people care about is the cloning. So the way this works is you are presented with a timeline of Jan's life from childhood up to you crash landing on this thing. And it's filled with different events, like, you know, him deciding to leave home early because he was pissed off at the, you know, stuff that was going on or whatever. Relationships that went bad. And it's really in depth. Like, you have to read these little blurbs, but it's really cool. Well, the cloning thing takes that timeline and it then splinters different aspects. So the first one is, instead of staying or deciding to leave home, he decided to stay. And so this turned him into a mechanic. And so he became good at repairing different stuff and whatever else like that. So he got a buff in that skill. So that when that clone comes out, it creates a whole new timeline. So now he has his own events leading up to current day stuff. And then so once that person's in the game, you then have to talk to them and you build a relationship. Like, he's freaking out based on what you're telling him, like, you know, because she's like, oh, yeah, man, you're a clone. Like, it gives you options, dialogue options on there. But your clones react to the different stuff. Like, they have stress levels and fears and stuff. So you got to calm them down and, you know, get them okay. And then, you know, they'll start working for you and doing different stuff. Again, I only played a little bit more of this one just because I wanted to get to the cloning bit. But I'm pretty sold on what I played. Like, but if you're not into the base building and survival elements out the gate, this is not for you, because that is a large part of the game. It is an adventure game. I don't know if there's combat, because I have not run into anything hostile. On this planet, it's pretty barren. But just the relationships and the dialogue options that I had with just the first clone that I got me pretty excited, just at the thought of all the different possibilities, because apparently it's crazy what you can do, kind of mixing and matching these different timelines and splintering off or whatever. So
sounds like the butterfly effect starring Ashton Kutcher.
Actually, yeah, it's a lot like that. Yeah.
That's a good movie. Okay. I like that movie.
Yeah. Wizard of Legend 2. I played, I played the first one when it was on Game Pass, but I didn't really finish it because there was other stuff that was out. This is the same type of game, but instead of being, you know, in the pixel kind of visuals, Super Nintendo kind of visuals, they are doing like 3D. And it has 4-player co-op, which I don't know if the first one did or not, but it has 4-player co-op, and it's essentially a dungeon crawler roguelite. So you mix and match your various spells, and they do different effects, from, you know, shooting beams of lightning to manipulating, you know, water dolphins around, stuff like that. It's kind of cool. I'm gonna keep.
What
my
other
eye
kind
on
of
it.
Dolphins are there?
What'd you say?
I said, what other kind of dolphins are there? You said water dolphins.
Oh, well, there's. Well, I meant, okay, well, first of all, I'm going to be that guy. All right, anyways, I said that because they're made of water, not that they live in water. They literally, he forms dolphins out of the element of H2O, water. Anyway.
H2O.
I hate it here. I played Metal Slug Tactics, which was announced forever ago, and I guess is finally going to come out this year. I put together a little preview for that, which you find that for some more in-depth stuff. But this actually was pretty good. I'm pretty excited about it. It's difficult. It is not an easy tactics game. You must want to get fucked up real quick. But, I mean, you level up the characters, and it's all the ones from the original game, like Marco and Fio and all them. Are the only ones that I've seen so far, but I think they, from what I read, they are going to have more characters in there. But you make a squad, and, you know, you give them orders, you know, isometrically. I mean, it's like any other tactics game, but this has that kind of Metal Slug feel. So there's vehicles on the field that you can commandeer. It's, I don't know, I kind of dug it. So, what else? What was the other? There was another demo. Flintlock. I uninstalled some of the
from
stuff
from Subway.
I apologize. Yeah, man. Yeah, no. The Flintlock. The what is
this? It sounded like you said Footlong. I swear, I thought you said Footlong.
Not Footlong. And if it was that, you know, I'd get that Footlong. You know, they got cookies now. Footlong
cookie. What the
fuck? Yeah. Who needs that? Like, why?
Who needs Subway? Who needs Subway?
I eat it on occasion, but it's not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's better sub places. Ever.
Well, the thing is, I'm in a small town. That's the only one even close to me. Like, the next
nearest...
I'm
not blaming you specifically, Ken. I'm just saying in general, if you have an option and you choose Subway.
Oh, no. I would, if I had an option, I would never choose Subway.
Yeah, see, I can't even, because my kids, because there's one up the street from us, and I think that's why they do it, because they walk up the street and go to Subway. And I'm like, fuck that, I'll go to Jersey Mike's before I go to Subway. I'll go to Jimmy John's.
I will go to the grocery store and make my own sub before I go.
There you go.
I did that last week. I bought a bunch of sub buns and some turkey. And it was good shit.
I know it was. Man, it's always delicious when you make your own subs. Oh, man. I might do that tonight. Anyways, Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn. This is a Souls-like game. And when I say Souls-like, so it does have like the, what are they called? Bonfires or whatever, where you save. But the enemies do not respawn when you go to this. Combat is on the bumpers. So your melee weapon, her axe, is the right bumper. And then the gun is the right trigger. She is extraordinarily mobile with the black powder, which is like the gunpowder stuff that's in this world. So like she can like air dash and multiple dash on the ground. Like it plays combat wise like an action RPG, but it does have those soul elements, because as you fight and you do various moves and chain stuff together, you generate this combo essentially, and it gives you the resource in this game that you use to upgrade your character. If you get hit while you're, cause say you fucking shit up and you got like 50%, you know, of a bonus because you kept this combo going. If you get hit, that zeroes out and you lose that bonus. If you die, you drop any of that resource that you're holding. Now the nice thing is you can, when I go talk about losing the combo, like losing that bonus, you can bank any of that at any time you want. So if you hit that 50% and you're like, oh shit, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do this next part, you just hold like left button on the, or left on the D-pad, something like that, and you'll bank that into your stuff. So you'll still drop it if you die, but you know, that's a way for you to kind of risk versus reward that bonus. So, you know, you kind of play with your own skills, like if you think you can do it, or you know, if you can't, which I kind of liked. I like the world. I know Ryan said he got some Godfall vibes from the last trailer, I think, that they showed, and rightfully so, because I definitely was feeling that a little bit too. I am playing it again. I didn't go super hard, so I feel better about it. The combat is definitely a lot better than Godfall. She, I can't remember the lady's name in it, but she's way more mobile, than the suits of armor in Godfall. And the little creature that you have, which I can't remember his name either, because these, you can, attack with him as well. And he causes like this withering effect on the enemies, and once this is this meter is filled up, you can do a critical attack, which is like this flashy finishing move that the guns and her axes have. So to me, it plays more like a RPG, action RPG, which I'm all about. So I'm looking forward to this. And bonus, it's on Game Pass. So I mean, you know, y'all should definitely at the very least check it out.
Is it Game Pass on PC as well? I think it is, right?
I think it is. Yeah, I'm almost certain. Let me go. Yeah, yep, it is.
I know it's already out there, because like I pre-installed it on my Xbox and it was like 17 mm-hmm. gigs as opposed to the 300 megabytes it normally is.
Yep. So it's done. Is what that mean? Like it's done. Like they just waiting for release. So I guess they, you know,
it's like a month out, I think. So it's probably gonna have a patch, like so polish and shit.
Yep. Yep, that's what I was thinking. Polish, which from the demo I played on the PC, like I said, it was good. Like I'm sold on it. It kind of calmed the few worries that I had. Because even though my PC is top tier. Like I don't have a 40. What you got? A 40?
4070 is what I got.
So I got the last gen, like I got a 3070 in mine, and like some of this stuff, like still like it stutters. Like I hate the optimization that I have to do to run PC games. Like, cause you got to go in there and be like, oh, I got to turn these shadows down. I got to do this. Cause it doesn't auto do it. Like I just love consoles.
Do you have the GeForce app that like will optimize your game?
I do, but it doesn't catch everything.
Is it half the time it doesn't even find my games, which I think is funny.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it won't even find the stuff. Like, so it, because the one game it actually really helped with was Helldivers 2. Honestly, it, because it found that right away, and it hooked me up with that.
It finds Overwatch on my PC, because I've installed it a few times. But, like, it doesn't find any of my Xbox games. So, like, I had Hellblade installed. It had no fucking clue I had it. Even though I pointed it to the folder, it's like, I don't think that's a game.
Yep. Yeah, it. Yep, does the same thing to me.
This is why I don't like PC gaming, because you know, I install it on my Xbox or my PlayStation. It's like, yeah, there it is.
It just goes right, and I don't have to go fiddle with the stuff other than to say I want 60 frames or I want 30 frames. You know what I mean?
My PC like, that's would it. My PC would run games better than the PS5, but I don't use it.
And like I said, yours is better than mine, so I'm sure mine probably would, but I'm cool. But anyways, Flintlock, Siege of Dawn. Yeah, check that out. I want to say that's probably the last demo, because I had played the Fallen Aces demo before and had dug that one. But that actually got a release. I think it's out in early access.
It's early access, yeah. That's another thing I hate about PC, is everything is out before it's out. Fuck off.
Everything. God. Cat Quest 3. They put a demo up of Cat Quest 3. Super excited about that. Oh, man. Open world, you get a boat that you can customize with weapons and stuff. You can come off
when
the
you
ship.
Actually are getting like wood and stuff. Like you can come off the ship.
You feel good about yourself?
I do.
You feel good?
I do.
But it's a very charming game. If you played the first two, you were probably already going to get this. But this one is, I think the first two played more like isometrically, like even when you were fighting. This one is more side-scroller when you're in dungeons and stuff, which is nice. When you're in the overworld, it plays like the old one. So it's like the isometric combat. It's definitely when you're in your boat and you can attack, you know, other ships. Because it's like an age of piracy, like, and you know, as you collect armor and stuff, it shows up on your character, which I love when RPGs do that. Like, I hate when, you know, I get the sword of 1,000 truths and then I equip it and I still look like I got the fucking default sword. Like, show me what the sword that I just put on look like. So, I appreciate that with Cat Quest, that you can see all your armor.
The fact that a game about cats is doing it better is just kind of funny.
It's crazy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Cat Quest 3. I liked the other ones, and you know, as y'all know on the show, I am a cat fan because I am a cat daddy. And she's somewhere. I think she's outside. Probably gonna bring me a chipmunk or something because she does that all the time. Anyways, I think that's all the demos I played. All the ones that I really cared about. I played a whole bunch of them. But there were a lot of, you know, pretty kind
I mean, it's Steam ones. Next Fest. There's going to be a ton of demos.
Mm-hmm. Hella. There is hella demos on there. There's card games and shit that you'll care about. I know. But this was the last one I did want to talk about. Parcel Core. So this game, and I think it had a demo on Xbox at one point. But you are a package deliverer on a bicycle. But the game plays like Bomb Rush Cyberpunk or Jet Set Radio type stuff. So it has...
Yeah, I saw this one. It's on my wish list now.
I'm getting Courier Crisis vibes from what you're explaining.
I don't know what that is.
I'll pull the deep PS1 game, Courier Crisis. I think it was on Saturn, too.
Okay. I ain't even hip to that. But I guess maybe it is something like that. But it's open world, like the, you know, Jet Set and the... Cyberpunk or Cyberfunk. It was really fun. Like, I liked that demo. Like, it's on my radar. I definitely am looking forward to that one. Okay, so that's it for demos. So, real games that I played. I played some more Traveler's Rest, running my tavern. That game remains fun. It's a lot of, I didn't realize how much stuff was like missing from it. Like the main tavern loop and all that stuff is there, but like the overworld and stuff, like the city and meeting other people, like interacting storyline stuff is not there. Cause it's early access, which is wild. Cause this has been in early access since I think 2020.
I'm sorry, but that screenshot looks like he's being attacked by giant rats.
Okay, you know what though? This is basically
that's Courier Crisis on the PS1, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, so yeah. Just think, you know, new age, better graphics and all that stuff, and I don't think he's gonna have rats that attack.
I don't think those are actually rats, but they
No, I know they're not.
They look like rats without tails, it's kinda funny. Like big tails anyway.
Oh, PlayStation graphics. Okay, yeah, Traveler's Rest is cool. What did I play? I went back to Final Fantasy 16 on PlayStation 5.
I mean, it's the only thing it's on.
Well, you know, right now, it's, you know, Squaresoft, they want to bring stuff to other places, so it's only a matter of time.
I mean,
now.
We just had E3 and they didn't announce it, so, you know.
Yeah, I know. So it's not going to be this year for sure. But no, that game is good. I played. I got into the Valorant beta and I played that. And my best description of Valorant is that it is Counter-Strike with character. That is what Valorant is.
See, I thought it was more Overwatch, and I was like, okay, I'll check this because they sent me a code too. I was like, I'll check this out. And then you said in the Discord, you're like, yeah, you got to buy your shit before the round. I was like, delete.
Yep. Yep.
The only time I'm okay with that is something like Killing Floor, which is more of a survival game.
Yeah, it's more like a Horde mode type game.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But like, if I'm playing a competitive online PvP shooter, I don't want to buy shit.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it in that game either. It's like, I'm okay with it because that's just the type of game it is, but I also hate it in there.
Oh yeah, I don't like it either. I'm like, just give me loadouts that I can set up before the match, not like as you're counting down for the match to start. Like, I have anxiety, so like that shit drives me crazy.
I got you. So to Valorant's defense, they give you like, I feel like it's 60 seconds. Like, it was a good amount of time.
If you have anxiety, if there's a clock, it doesn't matter how long the clock is, it's still a clock.
That's true. I got you. Okay. I got you. That's fair. So then, yeah, it's not going to matter how long you got.
No, you could give me 3 hours and I'd still be like, oh my God, am I going to get done?
I got you. I don't mind that, the having to buy the stuff. I was a huge Counter-Strike fan. As I've said, I never, to this day, I still haven't played Half-Life, the original, or the second one, actually, the campaign, because I only bought that game. I told y'all I only bought that game for Counter-Strike.
I still don't believe it. I still think I need to slap you in the face that you have not played Half-Life or Half-Life 2.
Like, everybody says that. Like, I'm telling you. Like, I booted it up.
Go play it. If you want to play it on a console, go on an Xbox 360 and buy it, the orange box, before the store shuts down, and it is backwards compatible, and it gets a resolution boost. Or just buy it for 30 cents on the PC.
On Steam. Yeah, buy it for 30 cents on the PC and get the modding accessibility and all that shit.
You know what?
Half-Life 2 is so good. God damn.
I think I might have... Because didn't they give it away for free?
Of course they did. They've probably given this... Like, if you may not realize it, but everybody on the planet owns Half-Life.
I got you. Yeah, I thought they... Oh, I don't have it. Okay, I thought I could have sworn I
redeemed it. You need to play Half-Life 1 and
2. Okay, yeah, I will. Okay, yeah, I'll play Half-Life. That's fine.
And episode 1 and 2 as well.
Okay, so then I could be with everybody else, like, waiting for the third one that's never going to come?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, I tell you right now... Alex is making sure 3 is not a thing in the way everybody expected, so.
It don't matter. Okay. You still need to play it.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I did play that. I played the VR one, Half-Life Alex. I played that.
But you've not
played... How did you play Alex but not played the others?
Like, I don't understand.
Because I had a VR thing, and that was, you know, that was like...
Oh my God.
I can't figure
Alex,
out...
Alex's story is heavily based off of everything that happens in, like, 2.
Yeah, so I didn't really understand anything. Nigga, I was just there to pop aliens in VR space and do cool shit.
Then you will love Half-Life 1.
Absolutely.
That is, Half-Life 1 is... And you know what? Half-Life 1 has 2 add-ons that are pretty fucking good, too.
Yeah, I remember
Blue
that.
Shift and...
Like Blue Shift
Opposing
and,
Force.
Yeah, because you played, like, the guards that were against the facility, and then, like, a random... guard. And so I did play some of the first Half-Life. I played up to the point where the aliens invaded, or the dimensions crossed over, whatever, and then my nigga messaged me and was like, hey, I'm hopping on Counter-Strike, and I hopped off and I never got back on.
Dude, that's the fucking intro.
I know.
I'm having deja vu of John all over again, where he was like, yeah, I've been playing games for 30 years, I've never played Mega Man. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, but his makes sense, because he had, like, I'm gonna play on the ZX Spectrum. Like, no one wants that.
No
I'm going to turn on my BBC Acorn and play a game with a little joystick with one button.
I don't think that's what John sounds like, but it's hilarious.
I don't give a shit.
Me.
That's the point. John, you're wrong.
Oh, man, that was funny.
PC,
okay.
Your PC past is terrible.
ZX Spectrum. And here in America, we call it the ZX Spectrum.
No.
Oh.
We call it trash.
I think that's what we call it. Oh, man. Okay.
The only one of those PCs that are like, okay, fair enough, is like the Commodore 64 and the Commodore Amiga. I'm like, okay, I could see where, like, there's some quality here. Have you seen a ZX Spectrum game? They all look like shit.
Well, there's there's one on Rare Replay, right? Is it Saberwolf or?
Well, I think
Attic Attack. Rare made a couple.
I think Jetpack has a ZX Spectrum version.
I think you're right.
I think that's the version you play in Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, I know that Saberwolf and I'm pretty sure Attic Attack are both ZX Spectrum games. I think so.
There's a couple. And look, I'll say it now, because I'm sure someone will be upset. The games that are, like, slower and more of, like, a puzzle arcade experience are fine. But going past that, any action game, they're just terrible. They're just terrible. And fuck Dizzy. I'm just going to say now, fuck that stupid egg.
There's, like, 6 billion of those games, though.
Of those games, not one of them is kind to the player.
No.
Oh, look, Dizzy. I'm sorry, you didn't know Dizzy couldn't swim? Too bad. Guess you're restarting the whole game over. Like, cool.
I'm Dizzy. Terrence, like, what the fuck is Dizzy?
I am. I'm like, what?
Dude, it's Dizzy is an egg platformer made by Codemasters that in Europe is like,
quick adventure game.
I shit you not, there's like 6,000 of those games.
He had some NES games. The Codemasters gold cartridges had Dizzy on them.
Oh, what was it? What was the name of that? What was the name of that company that made them? I know Codemasters developed them. Comerica carts. Yes, that's what I was trying to think of.
Comerica published them, and then
there's a whole
Codemasters made all the games.
Dizzy was the pack-in game for the Aladdin deck enhancer.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
Doubling down on my fuck Dizzy statement.
Yeah, the Aladdin Deck Enhancer was a cartridge that you plugged other cartridges in that was supposed to make the NES games better. Hint, secret, it didn't.
It was just a way to get around the
lockout chip. Yeah.
The lockout chip. Because it's just all the Comerica games that you could already buy on cartridges.
Which is funny because...
smaller.
It was proven cartridge. Immediately because Micro Machines was an Aladdin deck enhanced game and the NES version ran exactly the same.
Same, yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm going to run down all the Dizzy games quickly because we were
just talking.
So this starts in 87 and ends in 2020.
Dang.
Dizzy, Treasure Island Dizzy, Fast Food, Fantasy World Dizzy, Quick Snacks, Dizzy 3.5, Into Magic Land, Magic Land Dizzy, Dizzy Panic, Bubble Dizzy, Spellbound Dizzy, Dizzy Prince of the Yolk Folk, Dizzy Down the Rapids, Fantastic Dizzy, Crystal Kingdom Dizzy, Go Dizzy Go. No, sorry, it's Go Dizzy Go. Because there's no... that's terrible. Dizzy the Adventurer, Dizzy Prince of the Yolk Folk Mobile Remake, Wonderland Dizzy, Dream World Pogi, Mystery World Dizzy, and Wonderful Dizzy. And that's just... Then there's the compilations. The Dizzy Collection, Dizzy's Excellent Adventures. That's a lie. The Excellent Dizzy Collection, also a lie. And the Big Six. And then there's the canceled games. Learn with Dizzy, an untitled Dizzy game from the mid-2000s for PS2. And Dizzy Returns for 2013.
Dizzy.
Fuck Dizzy.
That is crazy. I have never heard of that. That's crazy.
Oh, there's a ton of them, man.
It's one of those games that's like unfair because like it was a lot of memory. You'd have to I think you could only hold one item at a time, and it was basically solve a bunch of puzzles, so you had to do them in the right order, but also Dizzy can't swim and do certain things. If you fall from a height, Dizzy dies, you know, all that unfair shit.
Jesus.
That's what I think of when I think of old British/UK
computers is Dizzy and shit like that.
Dizzy was huge in Europe. Clearly.
Yeah, I'd never. Apparently. It's like the Airy games, man.
And the the Airy games, we have better games. I don't know why you'd play the Airy. At least with Dizzy, it's like, well, for the time, I'm sure this was high-end on lower-end systems. You know what I mean?
I got you. Yeah.
Also, you have to remember, games at that time, like, their market was dirt cheap because they were all just cassettes. So you could just buy, like, it would be, like, £2 for a tape with a game on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, someone would copy all those tapes because it wasn't very hard.
I totally have to put the Dizzy Adventures theme at the beginning of the show.
I think Dizzy should be our mascot.
No.
For, you know, the picture that we use for this one.
Fucking Dizzy.
Fuck Dizzy.
Okay, well, so you said something. Speaking of, like, Dizzy can't jump. Like, he takes fall. Fucking, you take fall damage in Valorant. Like,
what?
I jumped off. Yes! I was so, like, because I played it with my son. And, you know, I was on the little upper. And it's not, it wasn't very, very far. Because the matches are set up like, you know, in Overwatch or Counter-Strike. I mean, you're in like some building, industrial complex or whatever. Like, I mean, there's like a little ramp and a thing, whatever. I just walked off the thing and she's like, oh, and I hear the breaking sound and I lose like 20 health and I'm like, the fuck? In the year of our Lord 2024, you taking jumping damage
in a PvP shooter?
Yeah. Like, it everything about this game, and I think that's the only reason why I probably won't go super hard in it. Like, it's not bad, but everything is very tactical based. Like, there's movement sensors. Like, if you run too loud, the enemy team will hear. Like, there's a little indicator that shows if you're giving off sound or whatever. So you have to walk real slow and creep up and everything is just too much. Like, it's so the anti Call of Duty, you know, where you just jump in, you run around, respawn and do it again. Like, no.
That's my experience in Call of Duty 100%.
I think that's a lot of people's experience Call of Duty, to be honest. But yeah, like I don't know. 20 years ago, I probably would have got into Valorant, but I haven't played Counter-Strike in over a decade. And I know they came out with Counter-Strike 2, and I didn't even pick it up because I stopped playing with keyboard and mouse. But I might mess around with Valorant with my son and them in like team deathmatch because they do have where you can play team deathmatch and deathmatch, which the deathmatch one doesn't give you abilities. The team deathmatch would be more your flavor because it gives you loadouts. So what happens is you pick your pistol, like there's three different types, and then you pick your. As the match goes on, they give you like a weapon. I think you get three upgrades and it'll tell you like, you know, equip this weapon at this point or whatever at different time frames. You just hold X and it'll give you the one that you have picked. So you have a loadout. And then you have free use of your abilities. Like you don't have to actually pay for them. They're just on cooldown like in Overwatch.
I'm just trying to understand. And I know Valorant's not a new game.
Mm-hmm.
But what is with the resurgence of hero shooters? Like, people have hated Overwatch for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, why is there now this big ass resurgence of like everybody making a hero shooter? Like, fucking PlayStation has a first party hero shooter. Valve is about to put out a hero shooter.
Nobody wants them. I have not heard anybody super excited. Valorant at least has had an audience this whole time on PC.
Of course, yeah, like that would make sense.
Okay. I'm like, that's, you know, I don't get it, but at least I understand to some extent. Like, there's an audience for this.
I'm just trying to understand it because here's the deal with Overwatch.
Fucking Valve and Sony are smoking crack.
Like, Overwatch has been around for, we're going on 9 years now that game's been out there. Anybody who likes it is playing it. Like, they're not really bringing in new people. I'm just going to say that. And the people who don't like it really don't like it. So, like, what do you think, like, it's fucking Blizzard. Like, is anybody really going to do it better?
I mean, I see what you're saying. And what I think it is that because game development just takes so long. Because like you said, 9 years for Overwatch. So they saw Overwatch come out, and by year two, they was like, shit, they own something. Bam, let's put this into development. I don't know how long those games have been in development. I don't know.
There ain't no way none of these games have been in development for 6 years. No way.
Well, maybe not development, but maybe like at the earliest stages where they were talking about it, right? And trying to outline what characters look like in the universe and stuff like that. Because you're right, it does seem like there's this huge resurgence. But then you're also, if you think back, we did this similarly with the live service games. With like when we got bombarded with Division 2 and Destiny 2 and Avengers and all
but hold on, hold on. To counter your point, all that shit happened in between Overwatch's launch and where we're at now.
Mm. Okay. So like that's just gonna bring up the point that like out of all of these things, I don't understand Valve more than anybody else. I do not understand Valve because they have the hero shooter.
Yeah, they have Counter-Strike. Yeah.
Team Fortress.
Yeah.
And so, like, and Team Fortress for the first time has dipped to mixed.
Which is weird because Overwatch is 100% a Team Fortress. Like, Blizzard took Team Fortress and made it perfect.
And made it different, made it their own. But yeah, like, it's so, like, to me, it's like, okay, so this is time for Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
Or Team Fortress 3, I should say.
Yeah, just make a new Team Fortress. Right. Yeah.
And they're making something that isn't that. Well, okay.
You know why? Because Blizzard does not, or not Blizzard, because Valve is allergic to the number 3. That's really what that is.
Partially.
It's gotta be.
I mean, the people said that about Capcom back in the day. You remember when Street Fighter 2 had 4,000 versions? They were like, we can't count to 3.
Okay, well see, they just like milking you for every last fucking dollar. Because I don't understand why you gotta have Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Championship, Street Fighter Super Championship, Street Fighter Hyper, Street Fighter... Like, what the fuck? Like, y'all doing too much.
Y'all complaining about DLC these days don't know shit. When Street Fighter 2 came out, there was Street Fighter 2 on Super Nintendo. A year later was on the Genesis. A year later was on 3DO. This is an incremental upgrade game on a different platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That shit was crazy.
That is true. Team Fortress, damn, its recent reviews is overwhelmingly negative. God.
Because Valve isn't supporting it really anymore.
Like, you say what you want about Overwatch, but there's new updates consistently. Like, if they would do that with Team Fortress, that shit would still be going. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just make a Team Fortress 3 instead of doing that? And the only thing that looks different about their hero shooter than Overwatch is that it's in third person, like the Marvel game. But
also, what the fuck is Sony smoking? They're going to charge for theirs. Like, what, huh?
Right, and then they like, yeah, we gonna need $40. The fuck?
There's like 600 other options, including better ones, most likely, and you're gonna charge $40 for this? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they are wild. Sony, and we've said this on the show, Sony is back to cocky PS3 Sony days. Like, they out here like, we can't do no fucking wrong, because y'all are wilding. But yeah, the only difference of the Valve game is that it's in third person. And the Marvel game is gonna move, or at least garner somewhat of an audience just because it's
Marvel.
Game.
Yeah, it'll pull in some casuals. I don't think it'll. I think it'll do well at the beginning, but I think it'll level out really fast.
I agree. And like I said, I said on the show, I ride these trains until them wheels fall off if I like it. So I'll rock with that Marvel Rivals until it goes dead. I did that with Gundam. I was there for the beginning and the end.
Which wasn't a big commitment. When you commit 9 years to a game, come back and let's have a chat.
Well, that's probably not going to happen. All right, so you win. All right, just know that. You win. I think that's it. I feel like I've talked forever. Y'all don't even need to... I played about some other stuff. Oh, wait, I will talk about this real quick. Two things. Multiverses got a patch on Xbox. Because I know, the Xbox version was unplayable. It is now playable. Is it back to what it was before they took it away? No, but it's still fun casually.
That game was out a year ago. It was fine. They took it away, made it worse, and now we're trying to revert back to where we were. I feel like this is Overwatch.
Yep, it is. I was going to say that. It's basically what's happening. So they're going to slowly check, because they're supposedly looking at the speed thing, which at this point I've kind of adapted to.
Nobody's talking about that game.
I know. They
Troy, what game?
Multiverses.
Exactly. Multiverses.
Oh, fuck. Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody cares about that game.
Oh, yeah, nobody. Yeah. But I mean, again, I like Batman, and I like some of the other characters in there that I don't have in other games. So I go in there and do that. I mean, it's, you know, kind of shits and giggles. It's nothing hard.
I'm going to say that the worst thing that they did was take that game away for a year, because they still had more of a fan base.
I don't understand why they did it. I don't get it. Like, if you'd have just left it running and made these changes, people would have been like, oh, I don't like this, and you could have just corrected it on the fly.
Right. But they took it away. They changed the engine. They put it in Unreal Engine 5, I think is what it's running in. I don't understand.
I couldn't tell. It looked exactly the same.
My brother in Christ, yes, it does. Like, I'm like, why the fuck? It looks the same. Like, they put two pictures of Batman up, you know, before and after the engines. And I'm like, man, so his chin is a little shinier. That the fuck? Is That's what like, y'all did this for?
Is this like the picture of The Last of Us remaster where it was like, which one's which?
Yes.
I can't. Yeah.
Basically. Like, they shouldn't have taken it away. But
y'all need to stop chasing. Y'all need to stop chasing fidelity. Just make a fucking fun game.
Thank you. My God. But yeah, for those that care, it did get its patch on Xbox, and it is playable. Whether you enjoy it, well.
That's well, that other guy that plays it with you, it will be thrilled.
He will. And then I've been playing for review. I'm reviewing the DLC, which I actually haven't gotten to yet, so I can't even speak about that bit. But this police simulator patrol officers game is okay. So I like it. It's actually pretty fun. It's funny too, because I'm going to have to stream it, because when I'm playing it, I'm down here like talking to myself, and I am like. I'm playing like a rogue cop. Like, I'm out here just stopping people, because you can walk up to people and, you know, you can stop them and you can frisk them. You can, you know, you can ask them for, you know, ID, like all the stuff that cops do. Now you get hit negatively for doing stuff like that. Like, if you just approach somebody and be like, hey, man, get on the fucking ground. Like, they gonna be like, okay, well, you didn't have cause for that. Why did you tase that woman? You know, we gonna take 20
points from
you.
That shit was funny.
Basically, so but anyway, the stuff like that. But if you play it, you know, like you should, it actually is it's a super enjoyable experience too. So like, even driving around, like I finally got a car, because you start off as like a beat cop. So I'm on foot giving tickets for, you know, people parking meters and parking on the curb and stuff like that. Then you gradually get built up to handling like car accidents, and the whole game has like a realistic, I'm using air quotes here, a realistic traffic simulation, excuse me, which works some of the time. I've seen car doors open while people are driving down the street and just randomly close. I've seen cars spin like doing donuts, but they weren't really doing donuts. They thought they were like making a turn, but they never completed the turn. But when it works and everything is fine, it actually is kind of cool. Like you'll see accidents happen in real time, like somebody slamming on the brakes and the skids and, you know, bam, and then the other car, and then you have to come over and talk to the witnesses and, you know, take pictures for the report and all this. It's you're a cop. It's pretty fun. Like, I don't know. I'm enjoying what I played. It's janky as fuck. No really way of sugarcoating that. Janky as fuck. The player, you don't create your own character, it has pre-made ones. So there's like a couple of women and, you know, some dudes, and I picked the black dude, and oh man, like his hair is like into his, it's just very janky looking. I have to
is it the Killmonger?
No, he does not have a Killmonger.
I was gonna say, well, you can't really do that. That doesn't work with like a, because I'm assuming this being a police simulator style game, like everybody's generic as fuck.
Yeah, basically.
You say that, Ken, but like, they have forced that haircut into everything.
Hey, there's a dude on Valorant that has one. It's just his hair is shorter. If it was
who
his
clipped,
hair was a
who
little
clipped
longer.
This? Who clipped this?
Who clipped?
I just got a notification in Discord that somebody clipped some audio.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't do it.
How was it me?
How the fuck?
Anyway,
why did I get a message for that?
I turned on a tower full of cats so I could look for cat pictures while you guys talk.
Nice.
Oh my
I
god!
I didn't know you could clip stuff.
I didn't anyway. Either, but like apparently it just said somebody may be recording your voice. I'm like, excuse me.
Nice. Oh, you know what? It's because when you turn on the Steam thing, or maybe it's GeForce. I don't know. There's apps that like you if you hit a button, it'll start recording.
Oh,
so
okay. Maybe that's what
that.
Happened then.
Yeah,
I assume that's what happened. Okay.
Yep. That's all it is.
Otherwise,
but,
there's somebody else. There's somebody else in the room with us.
I can't
right.
see them. They're hidden.
And they listening.
Must
to
be.
Us,
you know who it is? It's fucking Dizzy. He's coming. He's coming for his egg revenge.
The fact that he has an Indiana Jones hat, like what? Oh man, I swear I've never heard of that. Like that's just wild. Okay, the police. Yeah, I'm gonna write a review on the review. The review, the expansion, excuse me, is Dizzy Highway Patrol. Is the expansion. So it's going to put you out, you know, on the highway. So you'll apparently there, and I haven't gotten this far, but apparently there's like drug deals that you can break up and the high speed chases and stuff that's going to be in the expansion and stuff like that. So looking forward to get into
when's
that.
When's the OJ DLC coming?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm not sure. I'll have to ask them about that. Oh, that's the other thing. Like you work the crime scenes. So like it has that kind of like detective thing. Not quite as good.
Plays a crooked cop. You get your fingerprints on everything. Like, oh, the evidence is ruined.
Can you like throw some weed in somebody's trunk?
You cannot. And I was actually disappointed that you cannot do stuff like so. The most that you can do. About because I totally tried to play. I was like, shit, I'm about to be a crooked cop. This is about to be funny. Like, the most that you can do is, like, hassle people. So, like, you can come up to people and, like, frisk them and all this other stuff, and they get all pissed off, and you get, like, points against you, but you can't, like, plant drugs or something like that. I guess you can even arrest them. Like, you could just arrest, like, put somebody in cuffs and have somebody call them and take them in.
I just arrest everybody on the street. Every single person.
I'm going to try that the next time I play. I just thought about that. I'm going to try it. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a good time. It is janky though. Just know that if you're thinking,
I expect most of those games to be janky. So
listen, man, listen, I put a screenshot in and I'm going to get off here so you can go. Cause I feel like I've been talking forever. I put that screenshot in the chat. I started a shift. Like, cause you pick your shifts at the, you know, at the beginning of the mission, and then you go into the city, like your area where you're patrolling. And I was like, okay, I want to do an evening shift. It started at 3 p.m. and my shift was over at midnight. Nigga, why was it 11 p.m. and it was still sunny outside?
You're in
at
Alaska.
At no point. I'm like, oh, we must be in Alaska. I thought they said this was like the West Coast, but okay. Like, it's at no point did it get dark. Ever. Like, it just stayed bright the whole, and I'm like, wow. Alright then. And you have, like, headlights on your patrol car that you use to, like, and the tooltip came up when I pulled somebody over to use this, like, light to, like, direct them where I wanted them to park or whatever. And I'm like, well, the fuck they go see it? The sun is out. Like, what is this like going to do? Anyway. The game is janky, but the game is fun. So. All right, I'm done. That's what I play.
I want you to know you started this conversation by going, I didn't play anything.
I know, right? In an hour later.
There's all kinds of shit to talk about. Okay, all right, I got a few things I didn't talk about. So, I upgraded my PlayStation Plus this month so I could check out the PS2 games. Wow. Okay. So... Yeah, they run in 480p, like 30 frames a second, and it's kind of not great. Like,
they don't care.
Also, what is with the choices? Like, Sly Cooper, pristine, great choice.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider Legend, Okay. Star Wars The Clone Wars. What? Also, the prices of these things, they make no sense. So Star Wars The Clone Wars is $5. Okay.
Alright.
Sly Cooper is $10. That's a pretty good price. Tomb Raider is $20.
Why the fuck is Tomb Raider $20?
I don't know.
Because you can buy. Well, it's probably because you can buy the Xbox 360 version for $20.
So I booted up the Xbox 360 version just to compare, and I know it's a PS2 to a 360 game. But motherfucker, have you seen some PS2 emulation? This shit look good.
Yeah, for sure.
This does not. Like, it looks like it's running in 480p, and it's, man.
They don't care.
No.
Like, Sony doesn't care about their classic stuff, and that's so sad.
It makes me sad, because also, motherfucker, how are you only going to have 3 games out of 4,000?
Right.
There are 4,000
PS2
games.
You kind of was like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, Sly Cooper, that's cool. All right. And then they gave you, what was the second one you said?
The Tomb Raider?
I don't remember. Tomb Raider. He was like, okay, Tomb Raider. All right, and then what was the last one?
It's fucking Star Wars, Clone Wars.
Star Wars. Like,
okay.
Like, what the fuck?
Like, what? This fucking Twisted Metal ripoff game. We're like, what?
Oh, that is what that one was.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't understand. I guess they're putting out Ghost Hunter this week, which that's a cool pull.
That is cool.
I don't
play that game on PS2.
Dude, I went and played it because I was like, all right, I'm gonna go check this out. Like, it's not out yet on PS5, but I went and checked it out on the actual PS2 version. I'm like, wow, this is early 2000s as fuck.
Yeah, it's a rough-looking game.
Gotcha.
Like, the main character is this dude with like shaggy hair, and he's like, what are we doing, man? Ghosts. Like,
that's a game that is front loaded. To the point where it's like, this is really good, and the further you get in the game, you're like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's something.
It is a weird game, because like I was saying when you brought it up, Sony of America thought it wasn't good enough. So they didn't put it out, and so Namco did. But everywhere else, it's a Sony first party game.
Yeah, is it made by the same studio that did Extermination? Was that?
It's the same studio that did Medieval.
Medieval, okay. Who did Extermination? Because they brought Extermination over here.
Maybe. I don't know.
Fuck. Man, I revisited a bunch of PS2 games this weekend, and man, the PS2 is PS2 as fuck. I ain't gonna lie. Like, that was an era, and you can feel it when you play a PS2 game.
I believe it.
Lazarus Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but
that's the dude's
name.
That's
the main character.
Yeah.
Oh, in the Ghost game?
Yeah. His name's Lazarus Jones.
I forgot, but okay.
Okay, so here's the. They were. When they were closed, they were Guerrilla Cambridge, but they were formerly SCE Studio Cambridge.
Yeah.
Beast Wars Transformers.
Which one?
The PS1 game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh,
I mean, the N64 ones weren't much better.
No, they were all bad. But that PS1 one was
they did the first Frogger game.
Not the original, the remake one for PS1.
The PS1.
Yeah.
Medieval 2. They did C-12 Final Resistance.
That game is better than you think it is.
I don't know that game.
That was one of the last PS1 games released, and it's actually
2001,
pretty good.
So yeah.
Yeah.
They did Primal.
I liked Primal.
Oh,
I liked Primal too. My icon on Sony was the gargoyle for the longest time.
Yeah, I like that game. You can still play
Ghost.
It on PS4.
I didn't know
it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile for what it is.
Yeah, I like it.
Ghost Hunter. They did Medieval Resurrection for the PSP.
Yeah, which was the first remake of Medieval.
Yep, they did 24 the game.
That game is not great.
I liked it.
Little Big Planet for the PSP, which is the first Little Big Planet I played.
That makes sense.
I like that game. It's fine. It's Little Big Planet on the PSP. TV Superstars.
Oh, God, I remember that. Oh.
With the Move controllers.
That was, the Move controllers. Fuck, I hated the Move
controllers. Killzone Mercenary on the Vita.
That's a pretty good game.
Yep. And what do you think their last game was? Hint, it was PS4.
Siren? I don't know.
Let me rephrase that. It's a VR game.
I don't know.
Does the name Riggs Mechanized Combat League remind you of anything?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I remember when they were trying to sell that game on the stage. Oh,
that was the last game that team made.
Man, every time somebody tries to make a car combat game for Sony, they die.
Yep.
Remember when they tried to charge $70 for Destruction All-Stars?
Yeah, I played that game.
It's fine, but it ain't $70.
That PS3 Twisted Metal remake.
That one was actually done by Jaffe, and it was not great.
Yeah, and then that was the end of that studio, I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah, that's when he got let go. Yeah, that game is hard to go back and play, not because it's control-wise, it's like it's complicated to get into. Like, it had cool ideas, but the fact that there was only one driver really kind of took the character out of that game.
Oh, I didn't play it.
Yeah, I didn't care for that one. Twisted Metal Black and Twisted Metal 2, those are the goats. Just do that. Anyway, I did play a little bit of the Rocket Knight collection. Those games are cool, but like, again, I feel like we're just getting these collections. Like, there's not a whole lot to them. Like, there's a rewind, there's some filters, but like, I don't know. I haven't dug deep enough into it to see if there's more. Like, that Felix the Cat collection, which I don't really call a collection, I call it two games. Like, they're just feeling kind of minimal. I hope Gex has more stuff. Like, that's the one I've been waiting on from them. Like, I'd really like to see if they do anything extra for those games, because there was a whole lot of shit behind the scenes of those games. I'd love to see some stuff on.
What I would like from Gex, which is not a thing that a lot of people know, and I don't remember how I found out. In the UK, Gex was voiced by a different person.
Oh, really?
So not only was he voiced by a different person, he was voiced by two different people. I believe the first Gex is Dana Gould, no matter where you play it. But Gex 2 and Gex 3 have a British actor.
Didn't Gex 2 and Gex 3, they were published by a different team?
Let me just quickly look this up.
They were developed by Crystal Dynamics. The first one was.
They were all so in the UK or in Europe, Crystal Dynamics published it on the PlayStation, and Midway published it in North America.
Yeah, Midway.
Same with the N64, but GT Interactive did the N64 version. Man, these are all weird. I do hope. Here's a weird one too. I hope that they bring the Game Boy games in, too. Because the Game Boy Color games were pretty good adaptations of what Gex was in a 2D platformer. Let me just quickly see. I'm trying to find...
God, I remember when they tried to make it sexual. That was weird.
That was Gex 3.
I remember
3.
That.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I remember Gex 3.
Yep.
That was weird.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand why you're doing this. He's a fucking gecko.
Yeah, so the... man, okay, hold on. I'm just trying to... In the North American version, Gex is voiced by the comedian Dana Gould. The UK version features Gould as well as Leslie Phillips and Danny John Jules as the voice of Gex.
Okay.
And then in the Japanese version of Enter the Gecko, Mitsuo Senda voiced Gex. Which, so... I'm just trying to find... Yeah, so... So the PAL version, it's Dana Gould across all of the Gex titles in the first game. The second game is Leslie Phillips. I'm just going to see if I know if I can give you anything that he's from. He's the voice of the Sorting Hat in the Harry Potter films.
Huh. Okay.
And, oh, wow. Yep. Okay. Huh.
And then Danny John Jules is the... is anybody familiar with Red Dwarf?
Red Dwarf.
I know of it. I don't think I...
So the actor who plays Cat, which is a cat that over the years where Red Dwarf has been going through space, has evolved into a human, essentially. A humanoid cat.
He's the voice of Gex in Deep Cover Gecko or whatever the fuck the third one's called.
Yeah, it was Deep Cover Gecko. I wonder if this collection will also have the 64 variant of Gex 2.
That's right, because that had the Titanic level.
Yeah, it was a different, like, Night Dive does that when, like, they mash two versions of a game, they'll just put them all in one game. So I'm curious.
Yeah, anyway. I'm just trying to check, see if there's any differences. But yeah, Gex is a weird series because they I feel like they couldn't really make it work.
Yeah, it never seemed to hit like it should have. I still like all those games. I like all three of those games.
So. I don't like the first one very much.
You got to get past that fucking opening stage. That's when it gets better.
I just don't like the look of it. I think that's big. Like, when you look at... Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Gex, GBC. Like, of course it only brings up the fucking box art. Not very helpful now, is that? Fucking
oh,
Christ.
Interwebs.
Like, I don't know, it just, I felt like it was too dark and edgy looking.
I still feel
kind
like...
kind of realistic.
I still feel like, unfortunately, and people have talked about this before, like whenever people talk about that first Gex game, they very rarely ever show any of the levels outside of the goddamn horror levels. And like some of the later levels are so much more colorful and interesting. Like, nobody ever gets past the horror levels. Which, by the way, the boss of that world is Linda Blair shooting, puking green soup.
I'm looking it up. Yeah, you're probably right. I probably never made it out of the horror levels.
Nobody did. And that's why nobody's ever seen, like, those later colorful levels. So.
But I still think it's, like, a very odd-looking game. Although, I've always liked the design of Gex, and that stays pretty constant throughout. But, yes. Like, I don't know, just the... It's very, very much a 32-bit pixelated sort of game look to it, and I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, that game was a 3D.
Somewhere between
game.
A cartoon and, like, photorealism that they're trying for that I just don't think looks very good.
All right, but yeah, I'm excited for that whenever they get that. What else did I play? Some of the indie games I played, Magical Drop 6, which is an old Match 3 puzzle game. It's good, but man, I don't understand why everything has to be horny. Like, when you get a 3 match, like, the girl moans, like, anime shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? Why are we doing this? Panzer Paladin finally came to PlayStation and Xbox. If you haven't played that, you should totally play that. It's very much like, it's got a structure of a Mega Man game, but the hook is like, you just pick up random weapons and you can use them to attack, or you can, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, break them down on the fly, and then you get, like, perk bonuses. It's a great game. It's a really, really fun game. They made a 2D beat-em-up for Willy's Wonderland. Even that Nicolas Cage Five Nights at Freddy's ripoff movie.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful. Like, it's one of the worst beat-em-ups I've ever played.
Why did they make... Oh, you know what? It's fine. Okay.
No, I don't know why they made it, but they did. What else did I play? I revisited a bunch of old stuff because I was just trying to get something to catch with me that I would like to play through again. I never went back and revisited Killzone Shadowfall after they bumped it to 60 frames per second on the PS5. That feels like a different game.
I didn't play that at all. Is it good?
It's a good game.
I liked Killzone 3. That was
But playing it at 60 frames a second, you know, the thing about Killzone that always threw me off was like how heavy and slow everything felt. It's 60 frames a second. This feels like Titanfall, like, shooting. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Okay, I can dig this.
Yeah, what's up?
I was trying to finish Alan Wake. I just don't think I like that game. Alan Wake 2, I should probably clarify. I beat Alan Wake 1 twice, actually. I really enjoyed that game. Alan Wake 2 just... I'm sorry. I just feel like it's up its own ass. Like, you play it, and it's just like, look at this really weird Twin Peaks shit that makes no sense, and, like, it's not really a game. It's like, ooh, I'm dancing. I'm on a television show. There's some FMV. This weird voice. Like, it's not a fun game. Like, I know people are screaming into their headphones right now.
I am not. Hey, man, you're entitled to your opinion.
No, we know you don't have taste. It's fine.
I mean, that's true.
I'd say not playing the game.
That's fair. Like, I played it for 5 hours. I feel like I gave it a fair chance. I'm just like, what? Where is this fun? Like I didn't
it's
do
not
it
for everybody.
I've like, literally shot two people in 5 hours.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I believe it. Okay. Yeah. Like, the beginning of it is not very combat heavy. It's more.
I'll tell you where I threw in the towel.
Okay.
So I was playing the Alan sections where like. You do the light to go down the subway.
Yep.
I go down to the subway. There's like this thing shining. And it's like you have to look at it from a specific angle. Motherfucker, yep. I looked at that thing from every angle possible. Nothing ever happened.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. That's his inspiration or whatever.
Nothing and happened.
That is frustrating. And I don't know if that's a glitch or what. Because I ran into one. There's one that you do later where you have to like walk around because it's not you have to be in a specific position.
I did.
You have to walk around it and you have to walk away from it.
I did.
So that it kind of like starburst. Then it might have just been glitched too because you know that game is very does have.
I circled it 100 times, walked forward, walked backward, walked through it, walked around it, looked up, looked down. Nothing ever happened. And I that's not the first time I got stuck on a puzzle in his section.
Me too. Same. Like I was telling you, actually that was one of the ones that I had to walk away from for a day or so. And I'm thinking it was just glitched because similar to you, like I walked around it. I went, cause at this part you could get up, like there was elevation, like you could go up. So I went up, I went to the behind, I went to circle, I went every, and it never triggered. And I'm like, man, fuck this game. And it still had all the audio issues at that time too. So when you say all of that, I feel you. 100%.
Yeah.
Believe you.
Like, I'm like,
that's fair.
Like, I spent an hour playing it the other day, and I was like, I have not had a minute of fun. So,
yep.
I think I'm done. I booted up Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance. That's a dark ass video game. I don't.
What is that? Oh, the Persona game?
Yeah, like that. That
no,
is...
no. This is the main series.
Yeah,
If you go in expecting Persona, you'll be very disappointed.
Although it's like this developer only knows how to create like overworld themes in schools because again, you start in a goddamn classroom.
Oh my god!
Well, like, I think the original, novel that they're all based off of. Which yes, these are technically licensed games.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a Japanese only novel. I believe that originally also takes place in a school.
Dude, everything that this team makes. Takes place in a fucking school. And, like, it's almost a turnoff to me at this point, because, like, you get into the classroom, like, here's your character, because I guess you don't get to choose your character in this game, it's just that character. And, like, it dumps me into a classroom, and it's like, there's some crazy shit going on, find somebody to walk home from school with, and I was like, oh, God damn it. That's the thing I didn't like about the Persona games, was the and I know a lot of people, that's, like, their big thing, is, like, the relationship and the school stuff.
No.
Like, I wish I could just skip that shit.
Same. I liked Persona 5, but I hated that I had to do all the school activities, and then he had to have a job. Like, oh!
Yeah.
So I looked it up. The book is called Digital Devil Story.
Yeah, they actually made a game with that title, right? Or Digital Devil Saga was one of them.
That was the PS2 one, yeah. Digital Devil Story is the original game, published by Namcot, of all people. For Famicom, and it is the subtitle was Megami Tensei.
Yeah.
And it takes place in this. The story sees Japanese high school students Akemi Nakajima and Yumiko Shirasagi combat the forces of Lucifer, unleashed by a demon summoning program created by Nakajima.
You, okay. I'm
Tales,
just gonna.
Lucifer?
I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to say this one time. All these games are based on high school students, and they are sexualized as fuck online.
Yeah. The originals aren't as bad. The original stories,
but people online,
like, oh really?
People they online do. Drawing sexy pictures of high school students. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? All right. The last game I have to talk about, my embargo will be up tomorrow morning, so I can tell you all about it, which is Still Wakes the Deep.
Oh.
I've been playing this, God, it feels like forever. Like, I think I got it like 2 weeks ago. So this is very much like, I would like to call it a Soma-like. It is very
it's
much
from the Chinese Room. Isn't
yes,
it?
The Chinese Room, yeah. Which I didn't know was a Sumo Digital studio, which is crazy.
It must be now. That must be a new thing.
Yeah, I think they kind of bought them or something. But yeah, it's made by the Chinese Room, and it takes place on an oil tanker out in the middle of the ocean, and like you play this guy who like basically gets fired right at the beginning of the game because he keeps messing up, and then as he's getting ready to go leave. Like, this big thing shoots up through the bottom of the tanker and, like, destroys it. And then, like, you go through basically sneaking around behind these. It does something to the people on the tanker. It causes them to go crazy and become, like, monsters. So it's all about, like, just kind of stealthing through things, solving puzzles kind of deal. Looks very, very good. Runs very, very well. Very creepy, good atmosphere. But it's very hard to understand because everybody on that boat has the thickest, I'm going to say Scottish, maybe Irish accent. You cannot play this game without subtitles unless you are used to that kind of language. Like,
nice.
It is thick, like really thick. And they'll use words like I for yes. And even in the subtitles, it'll say, yeah, but they clearly just go like, I. It is. You have to play the game with subtitles.
So I looked it up. So in 2017, they basically laid off the entire staff, which was 8 people. So there was only 2 of them left.
Jesus.
They released a game called So Let Us Melt for VR as a duo. And then in 2018, Sumo Group bought Chinese Room for £2.2 million. They hired a bunch of people back. And then Still Wakes the Deep seems to be their first. Oh no, sorry, Little Orpheus was the first game, which was an Apple Arcade
game.
Oh,
that game is great.
And then Still Wakes the Deep is the newest one.
It's good.
I don't like. Here's the part that makes me worried. They're the team that's doing Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 now.
Yep, that's what had. I thought that was the same company. That's what has me worried because they're not that type of.
They're not that type of studio.
Yeah,
this is mostly a walking simulator. Team,
yes, right? this is 100% like. You're going to walk from point A to point B. You're going to do a little bit of puzzle stuff, like use a screwdriver to open a vent to crawl through. Eventually you get a flashlight. There's a heat mechanic, which kind of drives me crazy. You have to find heaters to warm up. Cause if your body gets too cold, it starts shivering. But it is genuinely creepy. It gives me a lot of Soma vibes. Like if you've played Soma when you're near the monster, like it fucks with the screen. And in this game, it's the same thing. So when you're near whatever this shit is, because it's like all over the ship, it's like, it looks almost like oil on the screen, like where it's got this like real rainbow liquid kind of look to it. And when you're close to it, it'll like put that on the screen just to kind of mess with you. So it's very similar to Soma in that respect, where whenever you're near something, it's very visually apparent.
I didn't play Soma.
Soma's really good. It's a fucked up story when you realize what's actually happening in that game.
Gotcha.
Drew and I played through like about 80% of it. We
watched most of those.
Yeah, those videos are hilarious. And I wish we'd have finished it, but we didn't, unfortunately. But we did get to the twist, which I think we were both sitting there. We're like, "What the fuck?"
Nice. Okay.
But no, I really enjoyed Soma. It's one of the few horror walking simulators that I really, really dug. And this one's given me a lot of those vibes, so I'm enjoying it. And then I realized I played 90 hours of this season of Overwatch. So,
brother, that's a lot of Overwatch. I'm not gonna lie.
You know
that's
what?
Just this season, Jesus.
You know what it was? I'm gonna tell you what it was. I got irritated at the fact that I worked over the years, and this has just been like disheartening to me. Like over the years, I just kept getting better and better and better at the game, and like my rank kept going up, 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 up. Well, I hit Masters, and I felt really good about myself, and then they did that rank reset, and now I cannot climb out of Platinum. And I don't understand it, because like I'll play games, and like I'm clearly doing very well, and I'm just getting teamed with people who are just awful. Like, just some of the worst players I've ever seen. And then I just can't win enough to climb. And, like, they're saying, like, well, then you're where you should be. I was like, motherfucker, I spent 8 years climbing up to Masters.
Right.
And you're going to tell me that I was actually two ranks below that? Like, do you realize how, like, disheartening that is? So, like, I was trying so hard to get myself to Diamond. And I hit it, like, six times this season. And it, like, clockwork. As soon as I hit Diamond, I would drop seven in a row.
Jesus.
Seven straight games in a row as soon as I hit Diamond and fall all the way back down to, like, Plat 2. And I gotta say, they got me, because I kept coming back and trying to do it.
One day they'll fix the matchmaking on that.
No, they won't.
I believe.
I don't.
I believe, man. One day.
I don't believe they will. I don't think they care at this point. But anyway, I spent a lot of time playing that stupid fucking game. I'm not gonna talk about that, but we'll talk about what's coming out this week. It's a pretty decent week. We've got Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5 games. We've got Age of Wonders 4, Eldritch Realms. For some reason, Crime Boss, Rocket City, Cagnali's Order.
Why?
I don't know, but somebody's been begging me in my email to take a Steam code for review, and I've just ignored that email 100%.
Yeah, no.
Horror Tales, The Beggar. Police Simulator, Patrol Officers Gold Edition, which you just talked about. Still Wakes the Deep, which I just talked about, which is also on Game Pass, by the way. So I recommend you check it out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's on Game Pass.
Nice. Okay, yeah, I will check it out.
Elder Scrolls Online Gold Road, which is the newest expansion. Warhammer 40,000 Bolt Gun Forges of Corruption, which is an expansion. Glyphs of Gitzan. Goat Simulator 3 Multiverse of Nonsense. That should be the title of the next Marvel movie. Ever After Falls, Grand Prix Story, Rusted Moss, Times and Galaxy, and Tyler Perry Shadow of the Erd Tree. Sorry, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erd Tree.
Bruh, I was about to lose my shit. He said Tyler Perry.
Is the villain a dark-skinned black man?
Wow.
I love you, Anthony.
The fact that he disappeared as he started laughing, you just faded into the void.
Yeah.
Shadow. He faded
into I'm a light-skinned black man, and I love Jesus, and I love you.
Wow.
Oh, I love that episode of the Boondocks. It
was something because I'm not like a huge Tyler Perry fan, but I've seen a couple of his stuff, like his show mostly, and then like it was just when that was mentioned, I was like, oh my god, god, this is exactly what happens,
man. If you watch the movie, because I, you know. This is a black movie, so like I hung out with family members and stuff. Niggas love Tyler Perry, and I was always the one sitting on the end of the couch with a crumpled face, like, this trash. Why are we watching this? I can't stand Tyler Perry. Oh,
I don't know. Just whenever I hear Erdtree, I think of Tyler Perry for some weird reason.
That was really funny. Yeah, that was just really funny. Oh, did you see? And I have to find the trailer. There's a movie coming out that literally is just dunking on Tyler Perry. The entire, like, it's just a parody of Tyler Perry.
Yeah, I saw. Like, I saw they were making. He's got his scary movie moment. So
yes, yes. Oh God, I'm gonna go see that at the theater. They gonna get my money because I can't stand that Negro. All right.
All right, PlayStation 5 is pretty much the same stuff, but we're also getting Ever After Falls, Five Nights at Freddy's, Help Wanted 2, and My Life Pet Vet.
Okay.
So please be excited. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, not a lot. These systems are finally kind of fading out. We got blood. Blood.
You know how they write the boss names in, like, Dark Souls and shit?
Yeah.
It would be Medea of the matriarch of the Simmons clan. And then the health bar would pop up at the bottom.
Okay.
She would have a purse that she would
Yeah, she attacks with a purse. She attacks
guns
with
out
a
of
purse.
It. What?
Somebody needs to make this. Speaking of mods, I thought about reinstalling Starfield and just downloading the Star Wars mod and starting over. Wonder how that would go.
On Xbox?
Yeah, Xbox has mods now. They just added it in that patch.
Oh, I might have to try that. Okay.
Is it mods or is it only mods they okay?
I mean, that's how that
works. That's how it worked in Fallout 4.
Oh.
But the Star Wars one is up there, at least right now. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I did play all of GoldenEye in Far Cry 5, so.
Yeah, like, I'll give it a shot. If it works, I don't give a fuck about the achievements, so whatever, but. If I can run around shooting stormtroopers, that'd be a hell of a lot more interesting than whatever the fuck I was shooting in Starfield.
Right.
The only game on here on Xbox that I didn't see anywhere else is Hole.io, which I don't think you should Google that.
I saw that on the thing because I was like, is that like Survivor.io? And I think it is.
It's
but you're a black hole. It's weird.
Yeah, it's that. Oh God, what's that game? Donut County, essentially.
Donut County was fun, but it's
more of an arcade game rather than a story game.
All right, boys, okay. You ready for Switch?
Sure.
Here we go. Buckle up.
Anime versus Evil Apocalypse.
Right off the bat.
How do you fight yourself?
Yeah. Is that the game?
No,
is that the title?
No, like, how do you fight yourself? Anime versus Evil? How do you fight yourself? I don't get it.
Oh, wow.
Chopper Strike, Tiny Little Farm, Urban Trace, Parkour Simulator Pursuit, Zuzu, Dunk Dunk, Echo Generation Midnight Edition, Moonstone Island, Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation Quest of Memories. That's got to be a visual novel.
Hold on. What I have to know. Can you repeat some of that?
Mushoku, so Mushoku Tensei, and then Jobless Reincarnation Quest of Memories.
All right, I found it. So it's based off of... Hold on, let me see here. Based on the light novel series from Japan. So not even manga. Like
manga.
Series is about a jobless overweight man who dies after having a withdrawn life and reincarnates in a fantasy world while keeping his memories of his previous life, determined to enjoy his new life without regrets under the name Rudeus Gray Rat.
Rudeus?
Sounds like a fucking Game of Thrones character.
Yes, it does.
I am looking at the game. Give me a second. Surprisingly,
I am from House Grayrat.
Surprisingly, not a visual novel. What?
No, I don't believe
that
you.
That is surprising, right?
Wait, hold on now. What is this? I'm trying to even figure out what type of genre of game it is.
Have to know.
So there's some RPG battles, like where you have the sort of character icons at the bottom, and you're seeing through first person, so you're just kind of seeing the enemy in front of you. I gotta give credit on the enemy design. This giant snake is kind of creepy looking. looking through, yeah, some visual novel aspects. It looks like a restaurant, running a restaurant?
What the fuck?
Right.
That's what... Yeah, no, you run a restaurant. There's a restaurant simulator in this.
Wait a minute. If you die and you go to a fantasy world, why you gotta work?
Right.
Because capitalism, you can't escape capitalism.
Even in a fantasy world?
Not even in death.
Goddamn, even more so in a fantasy world.
Okay. Alright, well, I did not expect that. Moving on. Scars of Mars. Cave Digger 2. Dark Star 1, Nintendo Switch Edition. Dice Folk. Egg Console. Tritorn PC 8801. Ever After Falls. Boy, this next game didn't even waste no time. Garten of Bon Bon, Garten of Bon Bon 2, Garten of Bon Bon 3, and Garten of Bon Bon 4. All four
those
games.
Those have all been on PC for a while.
Okay.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I've watched playthroughs. They are...
Well, there's four of them.
Like Matt, they look like something made to... it wasn't Five Nights at Freddy's.
Sorry,
there's another one where you walked around in first person. Something Baldi's something.
Oh, Baldi's! I remember Baldi's.
Baldi's
the Jaguar.
No. This one's Baldi's Basics, and it's It was like you had to do, I think, school stuff, and it was made as a joke, but like everything on the internet, there is a group of people that genuinely love it and don't necessarily understand the humor. And by those, I mean kids. And so, like, this studio decided, like, Garten of Ban Ban. And it looks terrible. I've watched someone play through a lot of them. And it's because I like his reviews of other stuff. And I guess his viewers on live streams paid for him to play it.
Okay.
And they look bad. Scars of Mars is a RPG game that looks like a lot of menus.
Cool.
Let's see here. Cave Digger 2 is a sort of Minecraft-y looking ass game.
Shocker.
Right. I gotta say, I do like that it's a diesel punk sort of style. So like a very industrial looking. I think those were the ones. I'm looking at new releases on my Deku Deals website, so that's kind of like Shadow of the Erd Tree, which is $53.49.
Yeah, it's full price. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Christ. And you need the original game to play.
And you need to have beaten a boss that like nobody's.
Yeah,
beat.
I saw that.
Yeah, my son was like, "Yeah, that he was like that ain't even a required boss." I was like, "Yeah, man, that they getting people out here."
That's a From Software classic right there.
That's crazy. Like he apparently had beat him, but he was like, "Yeah, my friends ain't even beat their boss." He was like helping his friends beat him or whatever this weekend.
Oh yeah, like that. That is totally like a From Software move. They're like, "Oh, we're gonna require you to beat this boss that you didn't have to beat because fuck you, we're From Software."
Yeah, that is, man.
All right, Operation Steel, Pixel World, Unity Chan, Puzzle World, Funny Dogs, Rainbow Ascend, Anime Girls Go Up.
Okay. I'm not looking that one up.
I wouldn't. Tavern Talk, The Ouroboros King, Toilet Hero, Train Your Brain, Spot the Difference with Cat Photos, Y-Lands, Nintendo Switch Edition, Love Elysium, Secret of the Goddess, Mouse and Crane, Pogo Stick Champion, Speedway Turbo Car Racing Challenge, and Tiny Watermelon Match. I'm going to miss when the Switch 2 comes out. Like, look at all these games.
Much crap. There's so much crap.
It is just an ungodly amount of crap. Like, I feel like there were more games out this week on the Nintendo Switch than the entirety of the 32X library.
Jesus.
I mean, what is that? That's like 17, so...
40.
Yeah, not surprised.
There were 40 games released for the 32X. Yes. Oof. One Japanese exclusive.
Yeah, because that thing didn't sell over there.
Nope. There's literally one Japanese exclusive, and you will
best
never
way to play Virtua Fighter.
That was a good version until the Saturn came out, and you got the remix version.
The remix version is the way to play it.
Oh yeah, that one that was packed in at launch was bad. All right,
I have two copies of that too. I have one without a case and one with.
I want you to know that that's the best cartridge version of Mortal Kombat 2. It's on the 32X. Which is the reason why that in Doom is why I wanted a 32X. So, bought one from Video Game Exchange for $99.99.
I remember Video Game Exchange.
Yep. I bought a lot of games there. I bought Ground Zero Texas for the Sega CD there.
Did you say the big release from Nintendo this week?
Did I said them all. What did I miss?
Nintendo World Championships.
It's not on this list.
It's You know what? I'm reading the wrong month. It's fine. Never mind.
Okay. That's I was like, whoa. Month.
I was gonna say it says the 18th, but it's July. Never mind.
Because Luigi's Mansion is next week, I believe.
So. Is it really?
Yeah. Next Friday.
I want to play that.
Yep, that's out next Friday.
You're not going to fight with me for it, because I'm just going to play the 3DS version. I don't need the remake.
All right, news time. Xbox news up first. Obsidian mentioned November 12th as the release date for Avowed, but then they removed it from their blog.
We're just kidding. Jokes.
Avowed has a third-person option for people who prefer it. I think we talked about these last week, but the new Xbox models... I still can't believe one of them is $599. What are you doing?
Brother.
What
are
you
y'all
doing? The update for Xbox system for June includes the ability to select a game art for your background. So like when you hover over the tiles, now it changes even if you have a dynamic background. The ability to switch between networks easily, subscription management on your console, and mouse and keyboard support on cloud now available for everyone. Rumor is that Xbox has signed a publishing deal for Panache Digital Games. They have made Ancestors: The Humankind Odyssey. So this is for their next game, which last week it was the Sefton Hill studio, right? The guys that were Rocksteady.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Microsoft's still out here signing deals for games, even though they're dead. So that's crazy. PlayStation News, Astrobot will have 80 levels at launch, but more are coming post-launch via free DLC. Like I said, Game of the Year. It's right there in your face. PlayStation Plus lineup for June 18th. Monster Hunter Rise, Football Manager 2024, Crusader Kings 3, Monster Energy Supercross 6, Far Cry 4, Lego the Hobbit, Lego the Incredibles, and Police Simulator Patrol Officers. Oh shit, that's a free game.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that was on their thing.
Classic PSVR, classics and PSVR games. You're getting Kayak VR Mirage, Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy, Ghost Hunter, and Daxter.
Okay.
Daxter, really?
Daxter?
That's the PSP game, yeah.
Yeah, say, that's the first PSP? Time, that's the first time I think it's been playable on a console.
Didn't they make a PS2 part of that?
Nope. It's the only one they didn't do a PS2 port of the main series. They did a PS2 port of Jak and Daxter, The Lost Frontier. They did Secret Agent Clank and Ratchet and Clank Size Matters, but they did not do Daxter.
Huh. That's crazy.
And all the Siphon Filter games got a PS2 fucking port, too.
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember Twisted Metal, what was it called? Head On?
Yep, Head On. Yeah. The PS2 version, I think, is the only one that has the...
Twisted Metal Black 2 stuff.
Yeah.
You can literally play Twisted Metal Black 2, like the beta.
The remnants of it, yeah.
Yeah. Marvel Spider-Man 2 update adds 8 new suits on June 18th.
Cool.
And then Sony finally rolled out the update to let you join Discord calls directly from your PS5.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
About time.
We're finally there. Geoff announced that Summer Games Fest will return in 2025.
We were surprised and worried about that. So,
speaking of Gex, Limited Run Games Showcase is airing June 20th at 11 a.m. That is this week.
Here's all the games you'll be able to play in 4 years.
Dude, so there was an interview with that guy, with Josh, on YouTube the other day that I watched. It was like an hour long. And, like, he was explaining why stuff takes so long to get out there now. It's a good interview. I know you're not a fan of Limited Run, but Josh has always been super nice to me. I like Josh.
I'm not Josh. Listen, I have issues with the way the company is run, but
I agree.
Two guys that started it. Josh was never the problem.
Well, he's the only one left because the other guy, Doug, is gone.
Doug is gone, and Doug was a problem.
Yeah.
But Josh was never the problem. My problem is that they need to be, when you're working directly. So the way. I'm sorry to get nerdy on you. The way the production works on most video games is that it goes to a third party first. So essentially, when you buy a video game, you're not buying it directly from the person that's getting it manufactured. You're getting it from the publisher who sold it to the tertiary company that you're buying it from. So Amazon, Walmart, etc. With Limited Run, we're removing that extra party in between. So the person that is your client are the people that are looking to buy the games. So instead of me dealing with Walmart if my game is scratched or whatever, I'm going to the publisher, which is Limited Run, which they don't treat them. They want to kind of have the benefits of being like Amazon, like, oh, you know, we're you know, slaves to the people that actually make the products too. But like, so is. Not a great example now, but so was Deep Silver, so was Sega, you know, all these publishers that make games, like, you know, Sony isn't putting out the money to make Yakuza disc for that's Sega's part. But you know, I buy the game from a Walmart or an EB or whatever. It's like that isn't an option really with Limited Run. I have to buy it from Limited Run. So you can tell me directly, which they would do. That you, like, if Walmart ordered something, because they would order in bulk and they didn't get it, they would have a complaint and the company would have to come back and explain it to them. And I feel like Limited Run doesn't do that, even though they are selling directly to customers. You need to be a little bit more obvious on what's happening. So with the latest example was the 3DO games that were just printed on CDRs, which is very different than an actual printed CD. Okay, they made a decision. You need to explain that decision before you sell the product. And that's been an issue before with, like, when they did Shiren the Wanderer. They did a PC version. That was a fucking shit show. You know, they've had statues that, like, have had stuff wrong with them. I'm not asking you to solve the problems. Shit happens. I'm asking you to be more aware that this stuff is happening and be ready for when shit goes wrong. And I've been lucky. I've had good experiences with Limited Run games. For example, when I moved, I didn't realize that using like a forwarding address doesn't include parcels for some fucking reason. It only includes mail under a certain size, which is dumb.
I learned that too.
Mm-hmm. So, I actually lost out on a CD I'd bought for a significant amount of money, which, you know, happens. I just consider it a lost cause and whatever. But I messaged a Limited Run and said, "Hey, look, hopefully you'll get it returned. And if you do get a return, would you be able to send me another copy?" Because I explained to them the reason. I said, "If not, let me know. And if you have an extra copy, I'll buy it from you." And I had really good customer support. They actually emailed me the day it got back to them. And they're like, "It's being shipped out." It was for Toe Jam and Earl. And so it's like, I'm not upset with them. I'm upset with the things that have happened outside of them, but that's not under their control. Like, I have an issue with strictly Limited games. I've made that very clear. But I didn't have an issue with Special Reserve, which they've worked with, which is where I have my Shadow Warrior 1 and 2 on disc from. So it's like, again, it's not so much Limited Run. It's just like, I feel like they do things to kind of protect themselves, but all they have to do to protect themselves is just be a little bit more honest and outright. I understand things. Like, everybody complains about the time frame. I'm going to joke about the time frame, but I understand that when you're taking open orders, it's a lot different than being able to order the games, you know, 2,000 of a game outright and then just sell those 2,000s, that 2,000 game after. So, like, it's very different from how they started their business. I think it was a move for the better. It did increase the wait time. But look, I think for the most part, it ends up benefiting the customer. I just think that, again, you need to, if things are being pushed back, especially if it's out of your control, let the customer know. Just let the customer know. That goes a long way. Are some people going to be pissed? Yeah, some people are going to be pissed anyways. But if you don't take the time and effort to do the right thing, you're just pissing everybody off. And I think that's my biggest issue with them, is that, like, they do really good work sometimes, and when things sort of fall through the cracks, instead of saying, look, this happened, but, you know, which is what they should do, they go, you know, we didn't think it would be a problem. It's a problem. Yeah, you know, and I say that from somebody who backed System Shock Remake, and all my stuff is coming from Limited Run, apparently. Night Dive was very upfront, like, hey, we fucked up. We don't know when this is coming. And I appreciated that more than when they were like, we fucking are canceling it because we fucked up. They really said, look, we're going to go back to the drawing board and make the game we promised. So it's just, again, a little bit more communication. I'm spinning off right now, The last 3DS game that was physically made was the Atui collection, which Limited Run had a hand in. Look at how Atui goes and handles their customer support. Don't do that. Because they took money for Hatch Tales. Sorry, they took money for Chicken Wiggle, which was the original name, which was a 3DS game, to port it to the Switch. That game is still not out. Has changed its name, changed its graphics, which, both things nobody asked for. He's published like 3 or 4 games in the interim without publishing this fucking game.
The George R. R. Martin of fucking video games.
It was supposed to come out this month, and the day it was supposed to come out, they delayed it again. So, like, that's the type of thing that I feel like when Limited Run is kind of not doing its best job, they're doing stuff like that. I don't think it's malicious. I've never gone that far to think it's malicious. I just think it's shit happens. Like, I understand people work for this company, and I understand it's people that sort of care about their product, but it's hard to believe that if you don't sort of put the effort in. There, I've said my piece.
All right. Moving on.
You know what? Just one more positive about them. Go. It's a terrible game, and I think it's one of the stupidest fucking things ever. But go look at the love and care put into that Plumbers Don't Wear Ties reissue. That's the type of stuff that I think earns you more kudos if you did that more often. Not for shit games like Plumbers Don't Wear Ties, but, like, you know, the Felix collection that just came out. Does it feel like it's that caliber, or does it feel like it's just a money?
Dude, that game is, there's nothing in it. There's just, like, 3 ROMs.
Right, so that's the reason why I'm saying, like, it's stuff like that kind of puts you in a bad scenario when I know you have the quality. I'm not even asking for, like, maybe there is no detail in the design of these games, but, like, at least do a little bit of effort and, like, explain why Felix was important at one point, because no one nowadays knows who fucking Felix is. If you're under a certain age group, nobody gives a shit.
No.
Yeah.
Him and Heathcliff, they're lost cats.
Yeah, right. Garfield's fat ass eclipsed them both.
Yeah, fucker just took all the mindshare.
Lasagna right to the thighs. Anyways.
Alright, THQ Nordic says they'll be at Gamescom this year with 5 games. 2 of them are unannounced. Suda says he wants
and
to...
And they've been cancelled. And the studios have been closed.
Suda51 says he wants to bring more of Grasshopper's back catalog to current gen. I guess there's some stuff out there. Maybe a Killer 7.
I'm looking up. I just want to see what... Is there anything that you can think of?
Killer 7 is the only one that hasn't been that I can think of, because No More Heroes stuff all came. They're doing the Shadows of the Damned, which is still playable on Series X because it's backwards compatible.
Yeah.
That what's that? That Case game came out on the Switch.
Silver Case.
Silver yeah. Case came out on Switch.
That's both of them. Okay, so I have a couple. Because yeah, No More Heroes is out. Shadows of the Damned is out. Cinemora is out. Lollipop Chainsaw is coming, which I know they don't really have a hand in, but
make that that Kinect game, but there's no more.
That's
Kinect. Baseball
God,
game
for that right now. Diabolical Pitch.
Yeah.
I would love Flower, Sun, and Rain to come back because that's a weird ass point and click game that was for PS2 and DS, and that is an expensive fucking game now.
Wouldn't be shocked to see that on Nintendo Switch.
Contact is a really weird RPG. That's a grasshopper ass grasshopper.
I was gonna say you pretty much don't have to say the word weird when you talk about grasshopper games. It's just infernal.
Yeah, I know. Just that one's so bizarre because I don't know how you do it because you kind of need both screens.
The other
like built around the DS.
The other thing I think about when people say this is like my brother in Christ. We are 4 years into this generation. There's probably 2 to 3 left. If you're going to do something, might be time.
Yeah. The 2 Shining Soul games for the GBA. Here's one that I want that I'm sure like 4 other people want. Michigan Report from Hell.
Yeah, you and 4 other dudes.
Have you not seen that game?
I have. I know what it is.
Oh, it's so fucking wild. The Samurai Champloo game would be cool too.
It was
okay.
It was fine.
The PS2 one.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
They did. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They did the. They did one of the Fatal Frame. They co-developed with Tecmo and Nintendo one of the Fatal Frame games.
2 of those have made it out.
Yeah, I don't think it was this one. Mask of the Lunar Eclipse.
Yeah, that's out.
Okay, well that was one of theirs. So that's another one that's gone. So yeah, I mean like. Liberation Maiden, which was one of the
I remember that game.
The 3DS, like they had those mini projects.
Yeah.
What was that part of? The Guild series.
I think I played Liberation Maiden at one point.
Killer is Dead. I think that's backwards compatible.
Yeah, it's backwards compatible. You can still play that game.
Black Knight Sword, I'm not familiar with at
that
all.
That game is it's like one of those puppet games where like the character moves funky, like what's that Genesis game? I know you're gonna know it.
You're talking the one that has that awful background.
What's the guy's name? Not Dynamite Heady.
Give me a second. Hold on.
I want to say his name now because his name is so bad.
He has a whip, right?
Yeah, the whip. What's that game? It starts with an E, right?
Man, don't throw letters out. I don't remember. Give me a second.
I don't know.
What do you Google for that?
I don't even know. That's what.
Come on.
Ernest Evans. Oh my god. Okay,
oh, I can't believe I pulled that out of my ass.
Ernest Evans. Yeah, that was not the game I was thinking of. Or is it? Is that the one that's got the weird? Give me a second. I gotta look up screenshots now.
Oh man, my brain is getting old. I had to pull Ernest Evans out, man. Whew. It's made by Wolf Team.
Oh no, Ernest Evans is not the game I was thinking of. But yes, as soon as you say that, like the motion, I understand completely. Yeah.
Yeah, Black Knight.
Weird,
Black Knight was
marionette,
like that.
Marionette animation style.
Yeah, there's a couple games like that on TurboGrafx as well.
I think it's a TurboGrafx one I'm thinking of. That's
It's the like Kabuki Warrior game. Man.
God, now I gotta think of the.
We gotta stop going off on these, trying to remember these fucking games.
Fucking game. Ah, man. There's just not enough space. Okay, I'm gonna put myself on mute. Why?
All right, I'm gonna move on to the Epic database leak for the Epic Game Store. Which included unannounced games like The Last of Us 2, PC port, Final Fantasy 16, Final Fantasy 9 Remake, Atlas from Bandai, and Turok from Saber Interactive? What?
Yeah, that one weirded me out.
Like, what? Man, I'm sorry, but anytime you mention Saber Interactive, you know what? You will never guess what the first game that comes to mind is for me.
unreleased DLC for Knights of the Old Republic.
No, this was a full released game.
Well, that was the last one that I could think of.
Time Shift.
Oh, I remember. Oh, that was them.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that game good? Because
no.
I've only ever seen gray screenshots of it.
No. No. So the 360 era had that weird, like, period of time where you got shit like, what was the pimple game where you changed the terrain?
That was called, oh no, hold on, I got it.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
oh yeah, because it was LucasArts.
Yeah, LucasArts made that game.
Oh no, Ken, you can't keep doing this to me. I'm playing the other game right now.
Like Frontlines, Fuel of War.
Fracture. Thank God.
Frontlines, Time Shift.
Hold on, what was the other one that I'm thinking of right now? It was gravity-based Gears of War.
Gravity-based Gears of War.
Was that Binary? No, that wasn't Binary.
No. It's,
gravity-based Gears of War. I remember the Japanese Gears of War, Quantum Theory.
Theory is much more interesting because it's fucking weird.
It is a very weird-ass game. Gravity-based Gears
Inversion.
Oh, yes. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Inversion.
Like, all of these games were 360 games, and they all kind of bleed in my brain together.
Generic brown.
Yes.
With a little bit of color.
The kill switch template. Anyway, Gearbox is now officially owned by Take-Two, so that deal is won through. Jurassic Park Survival Details takes place one day after the 1993 film. Iconic and new locations. Like, where else are you going to go? It's one fucking island. New dinosaurs, new characters.
Is that a horror game?
It's a survival game.
It's
a tree puncher game.
I'm okay with that as long as, like, the birdcage is terrifying.
This is the only game. This is the only thing that will get me to play a survival game. Is this also a day after the 1993 film? What did somebody go there? Or, like, if you remember the Telltale game, actually was the whole point of that was to get Nedry's can, right?
Oh, man, I didn't play that too.
I didn't play that one.
Yeah, that's literally the plot. Is a girl goes to get that Barbasol can.
I'm sure it is.
And I thought it had to be like 48 hours, because wasn't the Barbasol can only good for like 48 hours? So she had to be there like the day after.
Look, all I'm going to say is, and I know this is terrible, but like, Jurassic Park 1 is great. 2 can fuck off. It was cool when I was a kid, but I don't care now. 3 is really good.
Well, you know, 2 is bad because Michael Crichton didn't even want to write a sequel. Steven Spielberg then was like, oh my God, this movie did gangbusters. We need to make a sequel. And they made him do that. Like,
the book is really good.
The Lost World. Well, yeah, the book is, but the movie is not. But he wasn't even a fan of the movie.
I like the second
movie.
It changed
so much stuff.
Yes, it's changed. Like, it's changed from the book. I read the book first. So, like, before I even went and saw it, I read the book. It's just a fucking popcorn movie with dinosaurs eating people. It's fine. I don't think that deeply about it.
Like Anthony, I think when I was younger, it was cool. But, like, now, looking at it, I'm
like I've never subscribed to the when I become adult, things get bad stuff. That's just never been me. Like, if I enjoyed it, I enjoyed it.
Fog.
Got you.
The Fog.
Which one?
Bird Cage. No.
Oh, you're not talking about the John Carpenter movie. Okay.
No. The fog in the birdcage sequence in 3.
Oh, it's great. Where the thing comes walking across the bridge. That was a great scene.
Oh, man. And, like, just the pterodactyls, whatever there are, pterodons, whatever you want to call them, that can come out of, like, anywhere because fucking everything's goddamn foggy. I'm like, yeah, that's a horror sequence.
Also,
man, 3 gets a bad rep because fucking 2 is kind of garbaggio in comparison to 1, but 3 is probably the second best Jurassic movie.
It's also, like, if you go back and look at it, it's also a short movie. It, like, gets to its point really fast.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the island and everything's already gone to shit, so, you know.
Yeah, it's only like an hour and 40 minutes or something like that. Like, it's a real fast-paced movie. And also, you will never not hear that phone ringing.
Yep, and the best part is you get to watch dinosaurs fight. Hey, something for everybody.
Yoshimi Yasuda says that he brought back Lollipop Chainsaw because he's been thinking about the future of the game, of the series. But it looks like they're going to make another one. I didn't watch the trailer. Did it look good? I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I love that first game. Did. I did.
So it was...
Is it woke?
The trailer that they showed was the edited version? Because I guess this whole repop thing is they lessen the violence and like instead of adding like, you know, crazy special effects kind of stuff to it, but it's not the violence of the original one. So that's what the repop brand is, but I guess the original violence is still in the game. So the trailer focused on the kind of revamped version. But it looked good. I mean, I'm gonna get it. I like that game.
Are they gonna woke it?
Well, you know, kidding. That's the question.
The trophies for Beyond Good and Evil 20th anniversary showed up on PlayStation. So yeah.
Oh, guess that's coming.
I mean, it's been coming for a long time. It's probably just sitting in a vault somewhere.
Yeah.
What else we got on here? Final Fantasy Tactics remaster is apparently real, according to Jason Schreier. Speaking of Sumo, they're laying off 15% of its people across the group in Canada, UK, Poland, Czech Republic, and India. And they're shutting down Timber Games. We got some numbers here. Resident Evil Village has now sold 10 million copies. Call to the Lamb has sold 4 million. Agalos has sold more than 100K. Elden Ring has surpassed 25 million copies. Jesus Christ.
That is just, man.
And Sea of Thieves was the best-selling game in U.S., Canada, and EU on PlayStation 5.
What?
That's crazy. I want you to know that the internet does not equate to real life.
It does not.
What do we got here? Ubisoft, a bunch of announcements for release dates. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time remake is now 2026.
Man, that just pissed me off.
Like, what are we even doing at this point? Like,
exactly. Like, y'all went dark with it and delayed it and everything, and then you're going to stand on stage and talk about, well, this is the 35th anniversary, and we prepared this for you so you could see something from this game and show me a fucking candle and rewind? What? Nah, man.
Like, that game was supposed to be out January of this year.
Yeah.
And now it's been delayed 2 years.
Like, what? Like you said, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing?
Jesus. I don't know. Crew Motorfest, the Chase Squad launches this November. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora DLC, the Skybreaker, launches July 16th. Prince of Persia The Lost Crown gets a free content update. Story DLC Mask of Darkness launches this September. Excuse me, I had to sneeze. Destiny 2, codename Frontiers, announced for 2025. Signy, All Guns Blazing, launches August 6th. What the fuck? I watched the trailer for this game this weekend.
I'm so excited for that.
What is it?
It's one of them... What is it called? Shmups? Those bullet hell things?
Oh, that's my jam. What the fuck?
Yeah, you will love it. Like, yeah, I'm surprised you ain't know about it. Like, he is so amped for it. Like, because it was announced a while ago.
Like, I watched the trailer for it this weekend and I was confused because there's like a weird horny thing going on in the beginning. But then, like, I was like, man, that looks like my jam. What else we got here? Man, I don't know what half these games are. Flintlock Siege of Dawn launches July 18th. Dragon Age The Veil Guard launches this fall, which that gameplay trailer's out. It looks fine.
I'm okay with it. It looks good.
Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred launches October 8th.
Yep, I want that.
I mean, I got so many release dates here, like Age of Mythology September 4th, World of Warcraft August 26th. Flight Simulator is November 19th. South of Midnight is 2025. There's a lot of games coming out. Holy shit. Starfield DLC this year. Stalker 2, September 5th. We got all these from the Xbox show, so I don't need to go through all these. What else we got here? I think that's it. Yacht Club Games had their little presentation this week where they're bringing, finally, Shovel Knight Dig to Xbox. They're also bringing, maybe Anthony knows more about this, Shovel Knight Shovel of Hope DX.
No idea.
Which is an updated version with 20 playable characters, new features, full stereoscopic 3D, online multiplayer, and more.
Okay, what is Shovel Knight? I never actually, like, I've seen that nigga on everything.
Whoa.
Oh, it's Mega Man.
Whoa.
Okay, what?
You've never played Shovel Knight.
Nah, man, I ain't never played Shovel Knight. Add it to the list.
We reviewed that game 3 times. You want to know what the score was every time?
What?
10.
10? Damn. Okay. All right.
We reviewed it all.
What was neat about that was that at one point, and I guess it still is, I just don't know if they've locked them out since or whatever, but I don't know if the 3DS version had any specific bosses, but on Xbox you fought the Battletoads, and in PS4 you fought Kratos.
Mm-hmm. Shovel Knight,
awesome.
Shovel Knight is one of the best one of those games in the past 15 years. By a country mile. Also, this is the last time they're touching this game, which we joke about this, like, Shovel Knight has literally been in development, like, updates, spinoffs, for what now, 10 years?
Oh, jeez.
He's appeared in, like, every indie game out there, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I know, because I've never played the game, but I've seen him in everything. Like, Shovel Knight is always a guest character and stuff.
And also, this is, they've announced they're working on a new Shovel Knight, which a lot of people are thinking it's going to be, like, 3D this time.
Mega Man Legend style, eh?
No, actually good.
This guy.
Die.
This guy.
All right, just a few tweets, and I got some emails too. So let me pull up the emails first.
Okay, it's driving me nuts. Ken, maybe you can help me on this. It was a 16-bit game,
okay.
And for some reason I thought it was the same game, but it wasn't. It's the one where depending if your character moves left and right, like, if he moves left, the parallax scrolling moves with him, because the idea was to try to make it look 3D. It was a platformer. I think it was on TurboGrafx and Genesis, but maybe it was just one of those two. And it's driving me nuts, because it had a very unique style, and I'm not saying it's good. It's just...
Do you have, like, any other... Like, what's the character look like?
Just a guy. Like, it's just a guy. There's spike platforms and stuff. Like, it's very generic. It was just the fact that the parallax scrolling, if you moved left or right, it always kept shifting back and forth. So if you moved a little bit to the left and then a little bit to the right, it could almost make you sick, because it would shift so wildly.
Is this a Euro platformer?
No. No, this is like a standard sort of action platformer game. I'm pretty sure it's Japanese.
Oh, because there was one like that on Commodore with this, like, dude with sunglasses, but I don't remember the name of it.
I don't know if Commodore's too... The art style wouldn't fit. This was a very dark-looking game.
I'm not talking about Commodore 64. I'm talking about, like...
No, but even Amiga. I don't think it's... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I would have sworn, and it's not Keith Courage, but I would have sworn it's something like blank in the blank.
Man.
Fuck me, man. It's driving me nuts. And I've looked up, like, terrible worst parallax scrolling. Like, wait, where the fuck?
I don't know.
Usually better at this. What's happened today?
You like the guy.
Welcome to old age. This stuff starts leaving your brain. I'm still amazed I pulled Ernest Evans out of my ass. I
can't remember shit anymore. Like, man, I always am all of y'all. Man.
I bet I know the game if you said it, but I can't for the life of me think of what it is. I got a game in my head, but I don't think it was on the Genesis, and I thought it was that Euro platformer, but I might be wrong.
Cause it had this... if you know anything about that, like, let me know, because, like, I...
They just re-released it on... Oh, hold on. I will give you the game if I can pull it up. It might not be the game. But I do remember this one having some weird scrolling... I need to search more because they've done a ton of these. Cubite just re-released this. Fuck. Wasn't that one? No. this is making for great radio here.
Definitely. Like, oh man, this is good. Oh, they're looking for something.
Well, you should vamp, Terrence, while I'm trying to figure out what this is.
Oh, okay. Well, so that Wayfinders game,
Jim Power, The Lost Dimension. Was that it?
Yeah, I swear to God, I'm gonna type it in, it's probably gonna be right.
That's the one I was thinking of.
That's the fucking one. God damn it. Jim Power, The Lost Dimension.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Jim Power, The Lost Dimension, yeah, that's the one I was thinking of that had the weird scrolling.
And it's... Yeah, okay, so sorry. Yeah, it was a Genesis game, and it was also on Super Nintendo. Okay, now that'd be explaining why I can't find it. Fucking Christ, man. That pissed me off.
Alright, I got two today. Jim. I got
Get
two
Jim,
today.
Motherfucker.
All right, now my brain is officially tapped, so I'm just going to read emails. Adam writes in, his email is just called Terminator Resistance. He says, damn, I finally picked it up on your guys' recommendation, and oh wow, yes, you were 100% right. Without spoilers, I must say this is canon. Please, anyone that likes the first two movies, you need to play this. Thanks again for the recommendation.
Yeah.
It's a decent Far Cry clone.
Whoa, holy wall of text. Okay.
Holy wall of text.
You know what? I'm just going to show you. I'm going to take a screenshot of this email I just got. And I want you to understand how hard it is for me to read that.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to try. Daryl, this is a mess, but I love you. Hey, gaming gods. Just wanted to comment on the events of Sony State and Play and other shows. I'm a little concerned with the state of games coming out for most platforms and from most publishers. So, Daryl, I love you. Put some breaks in, because this is one of the biggest fucking paragraphs. Originality seems to be mostly dead, and if there are original games, it's usually a multiplayer game or a game-as-a-service game. Ubisoft had more of the same with Assassin's Creed Shadows, Prince of Persia, listen, we're just getting Prince of Persia again, I'm not going to complain about that. I'm just saying Anno, I don't know if that's the correct number.
Yeah, 117, yeah. That's
is
right.
It 117, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to, like, really ancient times, then?
I don't know about Anno.
Like Rome.
Okay, usually it's like the year it takes place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
okay.
It's in Roman times.
And another game of service in X Defiant. Even Star Wars Outlaws might be a bit derivative of other Star Wars games. Sony, Astrobot, sequel. Listen, Daryl.
Astrobot is the GOAT.
Astrobot is great. Don't fuck with me. Monster Hunter Wilds sequel. Fair enough, I'm not a huge fan. Silent Hill 2 remake, that looks bad. That's me adding in. Dynasty Warriors Origins sequel, prequel, whatever. I mean, listen, we haven't had Dynasty Warriors, like, give it a pass. Path of Exile 2 sequel. Until Dawn remaster that no one was asking for, but okay. Concord and Marvel Rivals are shitty games as a service game. Only Infinity Nikki looks terrible, and Where Winds Meet are relatively original. Xbox fared a little better, but more of the same with COD 6 sequel. Look, they just bought that, so I'll give them some leeway on that. That's kind of why they bought Activision. One of the two reasons, anyways. Doom Dark Ages sequel, prequel. State of Decay 3 sequel. Dragon Age Veilguard third-party sequel. Perfect Dark sequel. I don't know about that one. Perfect Dark sounds like it's a reboot.
Dude, Perfect
better,
Dark, the last Perfect Dark game came out 20 fucking years ago. Come on.
But, yeah, anyways. Age of Mythology remake, Fable sequel. Again, I think that's a reboot. Not to be pedantic, but
It feels like a reboot. Yeah.
Yeah. Stalker 2 sequel. Look, again, speaking of games that came out like 20 years ago, the original Stalker is that old. Gears E-Day sequel, prequel, and a lot of DLCs for their games, Diablo 4, Fallout 76, Starfield. But they did show some new IPs such as South of Midnight, Flintlock, Avowed, Indiana Jones, that's not really a new IP, Atom Fall, Expedition 33, Wu Chang, Mixtape, Winterboro, but not a lot else new.
That's a fucking lot.
That was a lot.
That's a lot of new shit.
For an industry that's been starving for it. But anyways, lastly, Nintendo's the worst. I'm going to say this through gritted teeth. Most everything they have announced so far has been remasters. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, but it's the end of life of Switch. Hold on, let me finish.
Super Mario RPG, Nintendo World Champion NES Edition. I think that's a little more than I think we have an idea of. The problem is that, like, I'm still not really sure what that game is. Yeah. Luigi's Mansion 2, and lots of other third-party sequels, remasters, and ports. Yeah, so going back to what Ken said, Nintendo kind of always does this when they're kind of not sure if they want to put out something new. You saw that a lot with Wii U, right? Like, we had two of the best Zelda games, arguably, get remasters.
Which is probably going to happen again.
Yeah. But, like, you know, and we saw that kind of, you know, right after they had sort of dropped their big titles for the Switch launch, they, you know, hey, it's Donkey Kong. Hey, it's new Super Mario Brothers U. Hey, it's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the game you definitely bought again. So, like, and some of these games, at least with this particular scenario, like, Paper Mario was an expensive game. So, putting out a remaster is probably a good call. Luigi's Mansion 2, I'm not really fully understanding of. Super Mario RPG was the same thing, though, where it was a super expensive game. I'm still not sure what the Nintendo World Championship NES Edition is, but regardless. When was the last original IP Nintendo has released? ARMS would be the newest out of the ones that you're listing, because the next one is Splatoon. ARMS is newer. Yeah, what is the newest Nintendo IP? But I mean, you could go back and kind of argue that with even Nintendo 64. Was there a new Nintendo IP on that console?
Mario Party.
That's a stretch, but okay.
I mean, that's the best I got.
Yeah, that, like, so like, and then, you know, they did a lot on GameCube, but that was kind of a mess for Nintendo. And then, because, you know, that had Custom Robo. If you were Pikmin. In the UK, you got Doshin the Giant. Pikmin is one of the ones that survived. They tried with Chibi Robo. No one bought those. You know, so then the Wii, you know, the Wii had all your sort of Wii titles. But outside of that, like, did any of those Nintendo properties stick from the Wii?
I don't even remember, other than Wii Sports.
I'm looking. Hold on. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, I guess.
They're still making those. So,
yeah, but it's Sega that makes those, right?
So, yeah, they're still coming out. So,
I'm doing a quick look here, and I'm not seeing a whole hell of a lot.
Nintendo doesn't do a lot of new IP. I'm just going to throw that out there.
But, like, you know, the Punch-Out got a remake on the Wii.
That game's kind of old.
Yeah. So to me, it's like, I think they do a better service of at least keeping most of their IPs. Obviously, Mario and Zelda take a lot of center stage when it comes to that. But, like, they do a better job of keeping their IPs relevant. So, like, for them to go back to the well, I'm, like, not as upset about them not making new IPs, because, like, the new Mario game is going to play different than the last Mario game. I think that was the reason why all of us kind of got upset with New Super Mario Brothers at a certain point, was that it was just constantly the same sort of thing, which is why Mario Maker was such a breath of fresh air. And so I'm not too concerned about Nintendo not putting out new IPs, as long as they kind of keep the IPs they have. Like, fuck, Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem was not a seller over here, then became a seller. Xenoblade, fuck, they didn't even want to release it in America originally for the Wii. That's probably their big one from the Wii era, was Xenoblade, which is theirs. So, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, they do a pretty good job of keeping most of their stuff alive. You know, you're always going to find someone, an F-Zero fan, a Chibi-Robo fan, you know, that are like a little bit more hurting for content, but, you know, I'm less upset with them than, say, Xbox, who now has a fuck ton of IPs and aren't doing shit with half of them. Same with Sony. You know, they just reissued the first Sly game. Does everybody remember they were going to make a Sly movie before the Ratchet and Clank one failed?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and for some reason Sly wasn't going to be voiced by the original actor, but Murray and Bentley were going to be voiced by the same people that did the voice in the games. I don't know, fucking weird shit. Anyways, continue on. Those are old and also multiplayer games. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, ARMS no one I don't think is playing anymore. Splatoon, they at least update. You know, they have new content for it. I don't know the last ARMS expansion, but I think
that was probably closer
to 2017.
Yeah, nobody cares about ARMS.
They also seem to mine the same franchises like Mario, Yoshi, and Zelda. No. They mine Kirby.
Poor Kirby.
Do they have something? Poor Kirby. Heck, the 3D I'm going to correct that for you. Iterations of Zelda and Mario are almost 30 years old now. Yes, but Mario Odyssey does not play like Mario 64. Mario 64 does not play like Sunshine. Sunshine does not play like Galaxy. Like, 3D Land, 3D World do not play like any of those. They do not play like New Super Mario Brothers. Yes, there is some collective sort of feel to those games, but they are not the same game. And that is the thing that I think you have to think about. Like Halo, before 4343 got a hold of it and started fucking with the system, played fairly similar. So the content you were doing was telling more story, doing better graphics, and then 343 got a hold of it and tried to make it feel different. But like, that is a multiplayer game. You don't want to change most of the aspects of it. And they did. And that ultimately was a problem. With a single player game like Mario or Zelda, I think there's importance to evolving. And I think you see that in Zelda. Yoshi is in a weird spot where they've been doing a lot of stuff with Feel Good. I think it's the company's name. Good Feel is the company name. And so, like, you know, you had Woolly World, and then you had Crafted World. So I understand maybe those are feeling a little too similar, but like the last two Zelda games feel like none other in this, like none of the other games feel like those in the series. And I'm okay with people being kind of bored with this setup already, but it's just one of those things where it's like, they do feel different. They do feel like they take evolutions. Even Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, which use a lot of the same assets, feel like fundamentally different games because of that timer in Majora's Mask. You know, Wind Waker feels different from both of those. Twilight Princess was something that everybody wanted. I think that arguably feels the most like Ocarina of Time. And then they did Skyward Sword, which felt like nothing else in the series and didn't feel good until it was on Switch. So like, I think it's dependent on what they're doing with the franchise. I mean, this goes for Sony and Microsoft as well. I just think that, like, they feed us enough, like, Nintendo feeds the audience enough that they're willing to accept change. And, like, Microsoft and Sony have been sitting on IPs that haven't been used in a decade, and they're gonna fucking fuck with it, Perfect Dark style, and make it feel too different from what people want. I don't know. Maybe that's just me defending Nintendo too much, but I like their games because they do feel frequently different enough while still feeling somewhat based on the property. Like, even Hyrule Warriors has a lot of Zelda DNA in it, but it's ultimately a Musou game. So, Let me see. They really need new IPs in order to even make sequels down the road. I mean, those games are fun, but one every 5 years is getting a little old and just more of the same. It seems the only originality seems to be with smaller developers on all consoles, and to me it seems that those seem to be the most interesting. The industry needs a bit of a shakeup. I'm not going to disagree with that. But I think also when you're developing something that's $1 million, you kind of need to guarantee yourself some return rather than an independent developer who is just trying to make their money back almost so they can live. I think there's a bit of a difference there in what we put in. But at the same time, like, who knew if Breath of the Wild is kind of like still stunningly it's the best selling Zelda game of all time. Yet it's arguably the most different out of all of them. There's no dungeons. I'm just talking to silence.
No, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Okay. I don't know. Like, to me, what do you want from Nintendo? I think a big part of this, and this kind of reason why I'm always like, I would love a new IPs, but like, if you do a new IP and it's a lot like another IP, then why aren't you just doing that IP?
I don't necessarily think new IP is always the right answer. I think, like you said, it's about changing the formula, like,
in a good way.
Yeah, though. I didn't think, like, I was going Halo to like way. Zelda without dungeons, but fuck, I love it, you know? I didn't think I would enjoy an open-world Mario game, but Bowser's Fury is the bomb.
Oh, my God, Bowser's Fury is so good.
Like, and it's nothing like Mario 64. It's nothing like Sunshine. I love Sunshine. I think Sunshine is completely unique, and nobody's ever done anything like that since.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest thing...
Like, the music.
Oh, the music in Sunshine is fantastic. Oh,
Sunshine's so good. But the closest thing to Sunshine is Splatoon. In some way.
Wow, yeah, actually.
Yeah, and it's not even, like...
It's not even the same sort of concept. It's all about liquid physics. So,
like, as long as you're doing something, as long as you're doing something different, I think that's why we got tired of Halo. Like, they tried to change it, but they didn't change it in a way that made Halo better.
They just changed it. It just felt like change for change's sake. And that's kind of what my fear is with Perfect Dark. But if you want a good example from somebody that's not Nintendo, and I'll be curious to see the new games in the series, but look at the last three Tomb Raider games. That trilogy is fantastic.
Yes, it's very good.
So, like, it's you know, it still feels like a Tomb Raider game, but it's very different from the originals, which I've only recently played. I was somewhat familiar with the PS2 games. But, yeah, listen.
Hey, Crystal Dynamics has redone that twice. Like, give them credit. They did a trilogy on PS2, 360 era, and then they just did this new trilogy.
And so it's stuff like that where it's like, you know, and some games are more obviously open to kind of constantly changing. I think Ratchet and Clank's a great example. You can kind of keep putting those characters into different scenarios and give them new guns that require, like, parts of the new tech to use. So you can put more stuff on screen and shit like that, like the pixelator from the PS4 game that turns everybody into like 3D voxels or whatever. That was a neat aspect. I don't think you could pull that off on PS2 and have it look and feel as good. So it really depends, but I think it's knowing kind of what you can do with the series. I think that's the reason why, like, Kirby, not making a joke here, but Kirby's very malleable. So that's the reason why they end up using him sort of as, like, testing for different concepts. Because he kind of can just do anything. So Kirby is now a golf ball. Sure, fuck it, why not? Kirby's in a puzzle game. All right, sure. Because it just doesn't... His identity is about change, so it's okay. So, like, they can do certain things to test with him to see what they can get away with. Because ultimately, Kirby games aren't the best-selling games on the face of the planet anyways. But they do well enough that it's a good way to tell what people like and don't like. So, like, I think part of it is, like, I love new IPs because it's always exciting to get something that's fresh and new. I think the problem is, though, is that, and I'll use a music example, when LCD Sound System did a big concert, it was at, God, what's the New York basketball place?
Madison Square Garden.
Square Garden. They did like 4 nights, sold out, and they said it was the last performances they were ever doing. And there's some shitty stuff behind the scenes that I won't get into, but ultimately the guy who was the sort of main writer and sort of the brain behind LCD Sound System wanted to make music again because he was running a label and he had kids, and his whole thing was like, I can't do all that and be a rock star sort of thing. So I'm calling it quits. But when he went to go back and make music, the people he wanted to make music with were the same people that were his band in LCD Sound System. So he just kind of said, why would I call this anything else? It's basically the same thing. So, like, that's how I kind of feel about video games. Like, yeah, new properties are great, and I love them. But if you're going to make something that, and there's only so many ideas to go around, it's always some sort of random indie person that makes the new thing, in my opinion, which, you know, that's... PUBG, right? PlayerUnknown had a new sort of idea and then people copied it, but like his project was very low key at first. You know, DayZ was another thing that was just a mod at first. Dear Esther, the first sort of big walking sim that from the Chinese Room, no less, was its own thing at first, and it was a mod based on Half-Life 2. These are smaller teams. They can be a little bit more creative. Because they don't have to worry about returns. It's just for passion. So, you know, when you're trying to make money, there's only so many things you can do, which is all trend chasing to some extent. If you're going to just make a first-person shooter, and it's going to be military men and your Xbox and you own the Call of Duty franchise, why would it be called anything else? Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about a lot of this, is that, like, I'm sure Microsoft wants their sort of sword and sorcery RPG, but they own the Fable license. So why not just make a Fable game? And I understand Fable has certain expectations with it, but is it easier to just bring those expectations into the thing you're making? Or is it harder to keep people from thinking that this should have just been a Fable game? I think that's a thing that they do think about when they're making stuff. I think the best example, though, like of a bad scenario where that happened is like, look at Prey, which took the IP from a game that has nothing to do with it, probably did disservice to what that game was, because originally it was going to be called Neuroshock, which is more accurate to what the game is. And it's like, it has nothing to do with the name Prey. They just did it because it was an IP, and it has nothing in like, that's, I think, an example of like a new IP would have been a better idea. But yeah, anyway, sorry, I'll continue. This still has an email. I've been going off. The industry needs a bit more shakeup. By the way, that Geoff, I'm saying it that way, that it's spelled like Jeff spells his name, show on Friday was a complete yawn fest. Can either of you guys confirm that? Was it a yawn fest?
It was. Yep. It was not great. Yeah.
Oof. I didn't watch it, so that tells you
what. It was 2 hours long, too. Like, I could have watched a movie.
How many trailers was there?
It was a lot of trailers, but it was also a lot of commercials.
Oh. Isn't that what the trailers are? Are just commercials?
Well, I'm not kidding you when I tell you there was a difference between the trailers and commercials in this.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, but like the way he did it, the segue pissed you off because he would go straight from a trailer into something else where you think it's like gameplay or something, but it's a fucking commercial where they're trying to sell you something. It's like, fuck you, Jeff. Like,
And then there was like a 6-minute commercial at the end for some mobile game with Ken Jeong.
Yes. Yep. Ugh. Yep. Thor was in there too. It's
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, I can't think of what it is. My son actually plays that game, but yeah, that commercial was the ending. Like it was crazy.
Not much anyway, to get excited about, except maybe the Blumhouse brand games. But not much was revealed there. Any thoughts on that? I didn't watch any of
the Blumhouse stuff. Looks cool. I'm sure there'll be cool games, but yeah, Jeff's show was. I would be struggling outside of nothing, honestly, that I got excited about.
I was about to say the same thing. I don't think there was anything that we came away with that anybody.
I mean, there's really good games about. In there, but I already knew about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right. It wasn't anything that we hadn't known about. So.
And to be fair, yeah. He did say that. So.
He did.
I can't. You know, I can't kill the messenger for him hyping it up because he was like, yeah, this is just some shit you've seen before. So.
And then just to finish this off, but Xbox at least had a good mix of new IPs and sequels. Maybe next year will be better. Just quit with the remasters, remakes, sequels, and ports. Thank you.
I mean, you could say that, but like those things sell like crazy. So.
Well, I'm also going to tell you right now, and this is a thing that I kind of noticed with, and it's not one-to-one. It's a flawed system because people are in charge, but sometimes those remasters and ports, remakes help keep something else afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're kind of what's like a layup in terms of business. If you look at music, for example, like labels will put out like constant remasters of certain people, but that's to sort of make money while they're trying to promote something newer. So like, yeah, I understand it because it's kind of annoying when everybody's doing remasters. Like, to me, again, I don't understand the whole Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. First of all, it had a subtitle originally, so that's just weird to get rid of that subtitle and just call it Luigi's Mansion 2, especially when Luigi's Mansion 1 isn't on Switch. So it's not like we're trying to get the whole series on Switch, which the only series that's like that, except for like the spinoff, is Pikmin. Pikmin's the only series where all four games are on the console.
Yeah.
But it is to help keep something else afloat sometimes. So don't try to look at it somewhat that way too. Is like, hey, we can't do the new projects, you know, without making money during the time. So like this thing will help us make more money in the interim while we're working on the other thing. It's, you know, for the amount of effort we have to put in to do the stuff. That's the reason why I think everybody's pissed that Nintendo hasn't done the Zelda stuff.
Yeah, like, why not just do that at this point?
Don't worry, guys. They put out that stupid Game & Watch thing instead for the anniversary.
I still can't believe we got Mario vs. Donkey Kong remaster before we got fucking Wind Waker.
That is crazy.
That one to me makes no goddamn sense. I'm not upset about it. It's a great game. It's a great game.
I will promise you.
Like shit, but...
I would almost promise you that game is the worst selling first party game from Nintendo.
Let's see.
Like I can't think of something that most people would have less interest in than a Mario versus Donkey Kong game. And yes, I know you. There's a couple of you out there that adore that series, but nah.
It sold 61,930 units upon release in Japan.
Yeah.
That ain't great.
Right. Yeah.
But it was also a game that was sold for cheaper. So I think Nintendo kind of at least knew that it wasn't going to be a huge seller.
I mean...
It is still a weird one, though, to put out.
Yeah.
At least Luigi's Mansion, I'm like, okay, there's some fan base to this. Like,
Luigi's Mansion 3 sold 10 million copies on Switch.
Fucking Christ.
So,
yeah, okay.
Luigi's Mansion 2 makes sense.
Yeah. And Paper Mario, I understand that one. You know, I understand certain aspects of these where the fan base is big enough. I've never heard anyone be like, yeah, my favorite Nintendo series is Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
No.
Especially because, like, the only game that's, like, not a Lemmings clone is the first game, which is the one they remastered. It's Donkey Kong 94 Part 2, essentially. Like, I don't get why they remastered this. I'm not complaining. I just don't get it. It's one of those weird, this might be somebody, like, did Miyamoto walk in and be like, we're remaking this? And everybody just had to go, okay. Don't get it. But right. I bought it.
We got one more email and a couple tweets, and we'll get out of here. This is a long episode.
I didn't realize there was... I thought that was the last email.
No, I got one more. This one comes from Jeremy. He says, hey, guys, I hope all is well in your world, and happy Father's Day to all you dads. Well, thank you, sir.
Don't worry. There's people in my life that call me daddy. I count too.
No, there's not. Stop lying.
You're correct.
Hey, I was rocking with you. I was like, hell yeah.
No, Ken's right. I was just shitting. Fucking right.
Yeah. He says, well, I quit my job of 4 years the other day as selling cars isn't paying the bills anymore. So now I'm driving for a couple of the Uber/DoorDash/Walmart places. Man, what a relief from car sales. On the game's end of things, I'm in a bit of a funk. After Dragon's Dogma 2, I've been kind of meh on what to play next. I got into XCOM 2 heavy, but it crashed on the PS5 and deleted my save. This email sounds excessively whiny. Sorry about that. What games have pulled you out of a funk? Thanks for the show, gents.
Well, first off, I want to say, like, damn, man. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not sure to say sorry that you quit your job, because, like, I know car sales aren't doing very well right now. At the same time, like, I think you're happy about it.
Yeah, he seems happy.
Okay. Like, you know, I hope, you know, it all works out for you. Man, games that get me out of a funk.
I wish I had an answer for that question, because I would be playing it right now.
I think Ken and I are both in one.
I've tried so many games, I just can't get anything to hook. Ever since I finished Stellar Blade, I just can't get into another single-player game. I just can't. I played the shit out of Stellar Blade, too. Like, I put 40 hours in that game.
Man, yeah, you did. Jedi Survivor helped pull me out of my funk. And there's also one that Jay actually talked about that I picked up that I can't think of, but you like playing a game of D&D and it's like hand drawn. Oh god, I cannot think of it. Legend of Wight, I think. Wight or something. Hang on, let me see. Type this in.
I have no idea what you're talking about, so
I thought you said you had played it. Because it came out on Xbox, like, messed with it, but you didn't actually, like, play it for real.
I think I know what game you're talking about, but that name doesn't sound right.
It might not be. I can't think of the name.
Like, I don't...
But it's a really cute game.
Like a storybook or something? And like
Yeah, it's like you're in school.
RPG time, Legend of Wright.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Thank you. That game is really good. I don't know if it's on sale now. It was on sale on Xbox for like $10 or $11.99 or something. But it was really cute. And it was pretty simple. Like, it's this like handwritten RPG. Like, the art was cool because it's like all hand drawn and it like happens like on the screen, kind of like in Comics World or. Is that what that was called on Genesis?
Comic Zone.
Like, Comic Zone.
Comic Zone. That's what it was. So like
I bet
the,
this game plays
the person.
Yeah, that game sucked.
It wasn't that great, but the art in this is really fun. But that helped pull me out of a funk. I tried something different. Like, just try something outside your box. Like something that just looks. Unique.
Are you trying to tell me to play a card game or a roguelike? Is that what you're trying to do?
Honestly, you probably should. I mean, no. If you're in a funk with the stuff that you know, then change it up. Try something different.
I did. I tried Shin Megami Tensei V, and I was disturbed and turned it off.
Okay, well, obviously
Vampire
that wasn't
Survivors.
I mean, that's always a good...
There you go.
Yeah, I could
that
play...
Could probably help, yeah.
I have three games that I can play whenever. I can play Madden, I can play Vampire Survivors, or I can play Overwatch, you know. What?
Nothing, man. That's wild that Overwatch pulls you out of, like, I just feel like that would just put you deeper in, like,
I put 90
in a row.
90 hours into this season, 500 plus games. I maxed the battle pass last night, like prestige maxed it. Like, I hit level 200.
Jesus, dude. Jesus Christ.
I always hit level 80. I've only hit level 200 like 3 times, I think.
Yeah, I've never done that. Never. I think I maxed out the one. I didn't like prestige it, but I got the skin for the Junker Queen one.
Level 80 is the max of like earning stuff. Once you get into the prestige, it's just titles. It's useless.
Right. Yeah, I didn't do that far. Actually, I think I got some of the titles, but I know I didn't finish it out because I remember y'all did, but I didn't get all of them.
Well, I just finished it last night. I think the last title for this one is Hashimoto Goon or something. I don't remember. Mine just says Overwatch agent right now because I feel like that's appropriate.
Goon says something, means something else nowadays.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't use that one. I just use Overwatch agent. So that sounds nice. That's appropriate for me. I don't have one. Sorry. I'll do the tweets now. This is what happens when you record for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
This is what happens when you let Anthony on the show. I'm sorry.
No, I enjoy your conversation. Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rambling mess.
Perfidy says, happy Father's Day to you all. Thank you. Why do some fanboys hate Xbox so much when it has done so many great things for gaming?
That is a good question.
I don't have an answer.
I can tell you, it's tribalism. It's
sure, but like, do you not agree that it seems like the hate goes to Xbox a little harder than the other two?
It does.
Yeah, now, yes.
I mean, it's really bad out there.
It stands out more because it's two generations in a row. But like, let me remind you that when PlayStation 3 first came out, and for majority of its lifespan, Xbox 360, like people that played 360, talked shit about PlayStation 3.
Oh, I still see people talk about shit about PlayStation 5, and I know it was worse during the 360 era, but I don't know that it's ever been this bad to where
I think
like the media's even in on it in some cases, which is weird.
Yeah, maybe not. I just, to me, it's like I have to justify my purchase because I don't have anything else to justify it with because I'm not playing video games on it.
I mean, it has to be that because some people be like, well, not everybody can afford that. And then you got people out here like tweeting photos of Lamborghinis like, motherfucker, you can afford an Xbox if you got a Lamborghini and a PlayStation.
I'm glad your rental went over well. I don't. If you take a picture of a Lamborghini to try to show me up, I'm going to accuse you that you're driving a fake Lambo.
Oh, you remember when the doctor got in trouble for fanboying because he was like, "Look, I'm a surgeon." Like,
yeah, because he did that footage like in the middle of a
surgery
or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that because I try not to fill my brain with rot.
You know what? That was when you left Twitter. It was actually it happened like a month after you had left. I remember we were talking about that. But yeah, this dude went way far.
Like if you're a doctor, you can afford both. So just shut the fuck up. Like who cares?
But the thing to me is like if you had better games to play, if you had more games to play, you don't hear about this as much.
Man, I can't imagine anybody in this day and age not having something to play. Like, I'm in a funk, but it's not for a lack of titles.
I'm going to say something that's going to be a little mean to some people, and I don't really care. They're normies. These are people that who think this is what playing video games is about, and it's like, no. Like, it's kind of like how, and I know people like this show, but it's kind of like how Big Bang Theory, it's like when they talk about superheroes or whatever, there's an argument. Most nerds aren't doing that. There's always one, sure, but like it's really not as people that like the same thing generally talk to each other like they're two people that have way too much time on their hands to enjoy the stuff and then are sharing that enjoyment. That's generally what this podcast tries to do until I come on and then tell people on the internet that they suck. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you really enjoy something, like, you would talk more positively about the thing you enjoy. I'm not saying you can't like PlayStation 5 more than an Xbox Series X or S or fucking Switch. I don't give a shit. But let's be honest, you're not talking about the positives of that. You're talking about the negatives of others, which tells me you don't really have anything positive to say about your console. Astrobot's on the way. I'm sure the conversation about the people that are really enjoying that game will not be surrounded by Xbox stuff. However, people that don't like Xbox and have this weird hate thing for it will bring up Astrobot as some sort of like one up on Xbox. But it's like, yeah, but like what makes the game good? The people that are enjoying the game will show you clips of the game and be like, this game is amazing and all this stuff, and they'll gush about it. And then it's like, you go to that group of the console war fanboys and they'll be like, this is something that can't be done on Xbox. Why are you thinking about that when you're playing a game?
Yeah, that thought never crosses my mind when I'm playing a game.
That's weird. Like, that's and that's what I'm saying. Like, these are people that are not interested in video games. They're really not, because if they were, they'd be playing video games.
The only time
people are interested in, like, fighting on the internet.
The only time I think about another console when I'm playing a game is, like, when I was playing Tears of the Kingdom. I was like, man, I wish this was on another system that was more powerful.
That's a bit different. That's a bit different. I wish this game ran better.
Yeah, like, that's the only time I think about another. Like, when I'm playing Stellar Blade, I'm, like, not thinking, like, oh, man, this could never be on Xbox. Like, it totally could. Who cares? Like,
wanting better out of a game is a bit different than being, like, this game. They could never do that on the other thing. I'm enjoying it. They aren't. Weird.
Yeah, weird. Loser behavior. Hashtag.
And like, that's a weird, like, you go outside and, like, find people arguing with each other about anything. Like,
I wanted you to know that I go to...
You're weird people. Like, arguments happen. I don't understand. I'm negative. How are you worse than me?
I usually go to Burger King and get a Whopper, and then I go sit in the McDonald's parking lot and laugh at people coming out with Big Macs. I don't know if you knew that about me, but I do that.
When I'm going to be honest, if you had said that when I wasn't on the podcast and I thought you were 1,000 pounds, I would have believed you.
Wait, what?
You're like,
dude, Anthony okay. used to so, think so, that me and Drew hell? Were like so, a so thousand
I
have, pounds.
Let me break down the established funny. Lore in my head when I just listened to the podcast and didn't know what anybody looked like. I thought Ken and Drew were both 1,000 pounds. Because these fuckers would talk about Taco Bell like nobody's business. And I just everybody else would be silent. And it would just be Drew and Ken talking about food. And I'm like, these guys have to be 500 pounds each. These guys are working for their own TLC show. I'm telling you. But you have to understand, Ken was like, man, 20... When did you stop smoking, Ken?
Oh, dude, it's been getting close.
Almost a decade?
Yeah, it's getting close.
So I started listening right shortly after you quit. So Ken was coughing a bit?
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. Yep. Yep.
Well, that was making me think he was 1,000 pounds. I thought John was younger than everybody else.
No, he the oldest.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, John's got to be around my age.
No, he an old man.
And I thought Jay was, like, Hispanic. I don't know why. Because I had never read his name. If I had read his name, I was like, oh, as soon as I read his name, I'm like, he's Korean.
That's fucking hilarious.
I don't know.
He used to think you were white, Terrence, just so you know.
Nice. Of course.
No, because Terrence wasn't on the podcast. Nice try, Ken.
No, it was just funny. All right, two more tweets and we'll get out of here. Shogun says, Happy Father's Day. Hope you guys had a great day and spent time with your family.
We're doing this podcast again.
Yeah, I know, right? I will say it, Dragon Age didn't look that bad, but I am a Dragon Age Inquisition guy, and I don't care how modern this game looks, that combat sold me.
So wait, is there a group of people that don't like Inquisition? Is that what I'm understanding?
No, I think what it is, well, okay, Ken might be able to answer this. I think specifically it was just people were turned off, because I think Ryan is one of them, kind of by the action combat of this one, because it's more akin to 2, which I liked 2, but this looks like it's taking it a step further. Like, this just looks like a straight-up action RPG with some Dragon Age flavor, which I'm all for, but a lot of people, I think, missed the...
The original game,
Yeah, the original one. Because they've changed it, like, from the original game, like, every...
The original game was very much KOTOR in combat.
Yep.
And 2 was just, like, straight action. And then 3 kind of melded the 2 a little bit. And, like, 4 looks like it's going back to 2. It's like...
Well, they said that. They're taking the... So, you know how you can pause the action... And, like, give commands and stuff, they're taking that ability away. So it looks like they're doing... It basically looks like Mass Effect now. Like, so you get the wheel with your power, which they had that, but you get the wheel with your powers and stuff.
The combat isn't what threw me off of 2. It was the bland environments and kind of crappy story. Like...
Really? I liked Hulk.
I felt the characters were not as endearing. And my God, could you get another enemy template or palette for a background? Because them environments, oof. that game was rough visually. Like, there was no variety to it, like, at all.
I got you.
So, I think that's what turned me off of the second one. Now, the first one I loved, the third one I loved. We'll see. Maybe this is like a... Every other one hits, so maybe I won't dig this one for me. I don't know. We'll see. But I'll play it. That's all I got.
Oh, I thought there was one more. Okay.
No, the last tweet was two tweets, just two separate tweets. I got to shill my chair, so go get yourself a chair.
Hey, hold on. Let me...
Go to E-Wing Racing.
Shill your chair. I have a better sell for you, though.
Okay, well, you got to go to the E-Wing Racing, get yourself a chair, use the code ZTGD, get 20% off, because, you know, we get you discounts here. Like I said, I don't sell shit unless I use it. I've been sitting in an E-Wing chair for, like, 15 years. Shit's comfortable.
Go get one. Nice.
Okay, what are you going to sell me, Anthony?
All right, listen, out there, you're listening to me now, trying to sell you the chair. And I don't even get anything from it, but you've been sitting in that chair how long, you nasty ass? Turn around and smell your chair. I'm dead serious.
Dude, I would never smell my chair.
Exactly. Buy a new chair.
I'd drop probably, like, 5,000 farts in the sun, bitch. There ain't no way.
Exactly. It's gross. Eventually, you have to change that chair.
You know it's true now that you think about it. How many farts are in your chair?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like,
how many close calls where you're like, ooh, that one could have been dangerous? Ooh, you think poop particles aren't getting in the chair?
Oh, yeah, in there.
Especially if that leather is cracking, it's just absorbing right into the pack.
Especially if you've had Taco Bell, am I right?
Ugh. Buy a new chair.
I mean, now that you put it that way, I think everybody should go and use code ZTGD to get 20% off. Clean up your farts. That's it, though.
And hold on. If you're really smart about this, you can basically, what you do is you give that chair to someone you don't like. Now they're sitting in your farts.
Wow. That's...
Right? Your old chair?
Okay.
Fucking, that's called dominance. That's an animalistic move.
So do you fart on things that you want to, like, own? Is that your thing?
If there was, like, say we were going for the same, like, slice of pizza and it was the last one, if I farted on it, would you fucking fight me for it?
Depends probably on where not. The pizza was from.
Wow.
Wow. That's
wow. Cool.
I'm just kidding. That was funny, though.
That was.
Oh, shit. Anyway.
I don't have to. Good news is I don't have to fart on Papa John's. It already tastes like shit.
Exactly. That's 100% true. We will be back next week with more video games. Granted, the two of us don't melt. Because, it's going to be hot here this week.
Yeah, I saw that. Lord.
Yep. Yeah, it's already 90 outside right now. I just.
Yep.
Just going to go cry in a corner. But yeah, if you want to shoot us an email, send it to podcast@ztgd.com. You want to tweet at us, it's at ZTGD Radio on Twitter. We'll always be Twitter forever. Unless anybody has anything else, we're going to hear a peace out, bitches.
Alrighty. And it goes something like this.